Trustee Gary Warner, could you please lead us in the pledge? Salute.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated.
We do have a couple of corrections in the agenda that I'd like to point out. The first one is on page 10. Page 10 is item number 4. The bottom of the page would be the termination of employment. Employment ID, the number is 8056. 8056. The next one we have is on page 19. It's not actually a correction to the agenda. The agenda for both items under educational services are correct. Item number 1 and item number 2. But the contracts and special reports need to be reworked to reflect the numbers in the agenda itself. So it's actually a change in the special report. Next we have page 21. Number 5, the approval of agreement with Vector. Needs to have motion written out to the side to get that in the action item. I need to say motion.
Could you repeat that, Mr. President?
Page 21, item number 5.
Yes, sir.
It's the action item. The word motion needs to be written.
Got it.
Okay. We have all the corrections made. Next, we have some recognition. Exciting time tonight. Dr. Bryant, can you please?
Thank you. Good evening. This really feels like an exciting board meeting. Our work is to serve our students and our staff. And to be able to see our students in this room is why we are all up here today. So I want to thank you, students, for what you do, and thank you for the recognition that you have well deserved. May I please have Ms. Naomi come up and say a few words about the parent recognition?
A message from behalf of my board and myself.
Of course.
We are so proud of our parents for continuing to engage in their own professional learning. We understand that we are lifelong learners, that we continue to learn and do the best we can. So to have you participate and set an example for your children, we acknowledge you for that, and please accept our respect and our honor for you. Thank you.
Nuestra superintendente quiere recalcar que los felicita y está muy orgullosa de que sigan teniendo el esfuerzo y la dedicación hacia sus padres y sabe que tenemos mucho por recorrer, pero muchas gracias y felicidades de nuevo. Si pueden pasar para afuera, por favor, los padres de familia, para una fotografía, por favor. Gracias.
If the parents could step outside for a picture opportunity. Thank you.
Ms. Wright, we will be coming down there to shake hands with the students. Would you want us to do that?
Yes, that would be wonderful. And if there are any administrators and teachers that nominated students, you may come up here as well.
Thank you.
During COVID last year, we started recognizing teachers and eventually students because we found that there's a lot that goes on in the schools that can be overwhelming and stressful. And one thing that makes everything better is the celebrations of everything wonderful that's happening in our classrooms. So the group of students that are here in front of you right now from September through the end of November were nominated for recognition by either a teacher, a principal, or a staff member at their school. And so we wanted to take a moment to really celebrate all of you. And students, I want you to realize you did something so wonderful at your school that someone stopped their busy day and they went on the computer and they filled out a form just to tell all of us about the wonderful things that you do. So what I'm going to do when I call your name, I'm going to have you get a certificate and you're going to go ahead and shake hands along the back and then you'll line up towards the end there. When we're done, we're going to get a picture of you outside and then parents, you'll be able to meet with them as well. So when I call your name again, come up here, and then we're going to circle back behind. So I have Caleb Anderson from Arboga. Kenyon Baltazar from Arboga. Do we have Kenyon here? No Kenyon, okay. Lillian Clark from Arboga. Junior Delia from Arboga. Lula Elrod from Browns Valley. Mitchell Foltz from Cedar Lane. Camille Goodman from Arboga. Abdul Griffin from Cedar Lane. Macy Johnson from Arboga. Adam Lopez from Cedar Lane. Christina Carbajal from Marysville High. Joseph Moreno Salazar from Lyndhurst High. Camden Jackson Nance from Arboga. Emiliano Vasquez Nolasco from Cedar Lane. Hunter Pruitt from Kynock. Analia Rea from Arboga. Melissa Reyes from Yuba Gardens. Jordan Rosales from Cedar Lane. Yula Sagapolotete from McKinney. Ryder Schuster from Abraham Lincoln.
Kaysen Zamavangsa from Cedar Lane. All right. Jewel Tao from Cedar Lane. Octavio Tirado from Arboga. Jasmine Torres from Cedar Lane. Max Torres from Johnson Park. Faye Vang from Abraham Lincoln. Jada Vang from Lyndhurst High School. Yalesi Velasquez from Cedar Lane. Nala Weems from Cedar Lane. And last but not least, Adelina Woods from Cedar Lane. And what school are you at? And Jordan Rosillas from Cedar Lane. Let me find you. Ah, we've got you right here, buddy. So, and I just want to take a moment to thank the teachers and administrators that took the time to nominate. It's open to anybody in the districts. It's on our district website. So spread the word, and we look forward to recognizing more people. We do have a few teachers. So if you are in the audience, Diana Anderson, Stacy Anthony, Isala Bodea, we have classified staff as well, Mary Garrison in Transportation, Jennifer Goucher, Derek Morrison, I know Derek's in here, he can't hide. Come on down, don't be shy. Yvonne Smith, Julie Teasdale, and Melissa White. So just like the students, every month we nominate teachers, and we had over 90 teachers nominated. So we randomly draw three names per month, so that's why you'll see fewer teachers, employees, classified staff. So again, spread the word. Thank you for recognizing everyone that makes our district so wonderful. I appreciate it.
That was very nice.
Wasn't it?
Boy, you can feel the air, huh? Let's open the door. Yeah, I'm short enough. Look where I'm sitting. I'm not sorry.
So I would just like to thank staff and Dr. Azrani for putting those recognitions together. I think that's wonderful that we're able to recognize our parents, our staff members, and our students. So thank you very much. Next, we have announcement of action taken in closed session. By a vote of 6-0, the board approved to follow panel's recommendation regarding the expulsion of student EH21-22/27. By a vote of 6-0, the board approved to follow the panel's recommendation regarding the suspended expulsion contracts of students EH21-22/26 through EH21-22/30. By a vote of 6-0, the board gave direction to Dr. Azrani to appoint Dr. Rocco Greco as the interim assistant superintendent. By a vote of 6-0, the board gave direction to Dr. Azrani to appoint Ms. Amy Stratton as the interim director of instruction, assessment, and accountability. By a vote of 6-0, the board gave direction to Dr. Azrani to appoint Doug Trower as the interim director of facilities. Oh. So one clarification, Dr. Rocco Greco is interim assistant superintendent of personnel. Left off one vital word there. Thank you, Dr. Zerani. Next, we have the annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. The board took action at the November 9, 21 board meeting that the annual organizational meeting would be held on 12/14/21 at 5:30 p.m. The law requires the board elect a president and clerk from its members. The board should also elect a vice president and trustee representative to Special Education Council. The superintendent presides over the election of the president. The new president presides over the remaining election and assumes responsibility of the meeting at that time. Dr. Azrani?
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to take a nomination for the president.
I'd like to nominate Randy Davis.
Mr. Randy Davis.
Okay.
Are there any other nominations for president?
So next you would ask for a motion.
Okay. So now I ask for a motion to for Mr. Randy Davis as president.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So in a vote, total vote, we have Mr. Davis as the new president of the Board of Education.
Yay!
So Mr. Davis, I'll gather my stuff together. You need to be close to the gavel. We'll make the switch.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Okay. And I'll open the session for electing our vice president. Do I hear any nominations?
I nominate Allison Hasty.
Does Allison accept?
Yes.
Are there any other nominations? If they're hearing none, do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Allison Hasty is vice president. Now we open the discussion for the clerk of the board. Do I hear any nominations for clerk?
I nominate Randy Rasmus.
Second.
From the protocol, I first need to accept or decline.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Congratulations.
Yes, I okay. would accept.
He accepts. He accepts.
Are there any other nominations for clerk? Do I hear a second?
Second.
Yes. Oh, excuse me.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Now we have the nomination for the trustees representative to the Special Education Council. Do I hear any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Gary Criddle.
I respectfully decline.
I would like to nominate his brother.
I will continue and accept that nomination.
I'm sorry, yeah, I got the wrong Criddles.
Are there any other nominations? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Congratulations.
The next thing on the agenda is to set the time, date, and place of regular meetings. I recommend the board accept the schedule of board meetings dates as shown and special reports. The canceled meetings in 2022 are January 11th, April 12th, June 14th, December 22nd, July 26th, November 22 and December 27.
I make a motion to accept the dates for the regular scheduled board meetings.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is to appoint the superintendent as secretary to the Board of Trustees. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
I'm sorry, Mr. Davis. We first need to have a motion. So I would make a motion to appoint the superintendent as the secretary of the Board of Trustees.
Okay. Now a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Now we have the authorization to authorize superintendent and designee to sign warrants and contracts and other documents. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Now we have comments from board members. Ms. Allison.
Yes, thank you. Last month, with the Zoom quality, I wasn't able to hear everything that happened, and I am concerned. I am delighted that we have such an incredibly generous community, and I want to make sure that the people who have been making donations properly thanked publicly. So Save Mart from last month, supermarkets donated $500.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Ellett, the Lions Club, donated $500 to Linda School. And this month, we've had generous donations. The Home Campus donated to the football club, Early Risers, Kiwanis, Alta Chapter of MOAA, Dollar General, Collins Lake, Pizza Roundup, Kiwanis, the Mejia family, Brownsville, Sand and Gravel, Givicki Ford, Tony's Tires, McKinney Math Department, So's Sawdust, Brownsville, Sand and Gravel, Frank and Booth, Marysville Police Officers Association, Brown's Gas Company, Mountain Mike's Pizza, and the Rotary Club of Marysville.
Okay.
And they have just been incredibly, all of these people have been incredibly generous, and we are very grateful. Thank you.
Okay. Randy Rasmussen.
I would just like to give a thanks to all of our staff that are working for our district. Everybody is putting in a great amount of time to make sure we're giving a quality education to our students. So thank you. Everywhere from the site level to the district office. I know everybody's looking forward to this break and hopefully we can regenerate and come back ready to go. But just thank you and hopefully everybody has some time off and happy holidays to y'all.
Mr. Crawford.
Me? Last Friday I got the opportunity to hang out at Kynock. And I ate with the cafeteria and the kids. I do that all the time, though, so nothing special. And I did want to recognize not all those groups, but one, Julie's husband. I think her name's Craig. His name's Craig. He put all together the bikes from Target, or Walmart, rather, and one didn't have a seat, so he had to call him back, and they gave him a new seat. That's pretty cool. Thanks. Feliz Navidad. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you.
Doug Criddle.
First of all, I hope everybody has a safe, wonderful, happy holidays coming forward. I'd also like to say I had the most incredible opportunity to represent you in Yuba County as your CSBA delegate down in San Diego. Frank, don't hurt yourself there. And at that conference I was able to meet and work with and speak with attorneys, constituents from other counties, L.A. County, Southern Cali County board members and such, and got to see what's really happening out there as far as masking. Equity issues, policies, shared practices, resolutions, and very exciting stuff that we were able to walk away with. And it was encouraging. It was very encouraging to see that everybody talking about these and having some dialogue. So I look forward to getting more information from CSBA in the future, and I'm very excited about that, and I want to thank you all for that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Criddle?
I just want to say, having those kids up in front of us, that was the highlight of my day. I think it's amazing that these kids, are the work that they're doing in the times that we're in right now, it literally takes a village, teachers, parents, administrators, everybody, bus drivers, cooks, librarians, everyone. It takes everyone involved to make those sorts of things happen. I want to wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Festivus, all the above. Be safe out there. Be kind to one another. Thank you.
I would just like to express my gratitude to the board and elect me their president. It's a big set of shoes I have to fill after Randy Rasmussen serving for at least 2 years. It seems like longer. And I do want to wish everyone a nice holiday. I know it's been tough this first half of the year of our school year. And I'm just very proud of our teachers, staff, directors for keeping us going forward in teaching our children and the community that we can move forward. Thank you. Now we have an opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening, Mr. Davis and members of the board. Tonight I am joined by the executive board for the Marysville Unified Teachers Association and our comments to the board. Wilma Mankiller, the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, once said, "The most fulfilled people are the ones who get up every morning and stand for something larger than themselves. They are the people who care about others, who will extend a helping hand to someone in need, or will speak up about an injustice when they see it." At the last board meeting, an injustice occurred, an injustice that needs to be rectified for our students and for their families, for our teachers, and for our entire community. In the process of that meeting, there was a great deal of misinformation and a near total lack of true understanding of the ideas, ideals, programs, and practices included and protected by the approval of an equity policy. As JFK once explained, the great enemy of truth is not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. Too often, we hold fast to the clichés of our forebears. We subject all facts to a prefabricated set of interpretations. Too often, we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. I believe, or I would like to think at least, that this lack of discomfort of thought is the problem we're encountering on this issue, and not something much worse and much more sinister. So tonight, I'm asking the board, along with the entire Marysville Unified Teachers Association, to experience that discomfort and to really be thoughtful about this issue. By approving an equity policy, which is actually an educational equity policy, you will not be instituting anything new. As a matter of fact, you will be putting in place a policy that actually already exists in every classroom in this district. You will be codifying ideals and practices that are already happening. But more importantly, you would be protecting and guaranteeing those ideals and practices for our students. Some examples of those programs and practices include our advanced placement classes, GATE classes, ELD, tutoring, our extracurricular and co-curricular activities, every sports team, every club, our music, academic decathlon, special education, our arts offerings, our CTE, our early college program, our electives, just to name a few. Our 10,000 students come to our classrooms every day from many different backgrounds and with vastly different life experiences, many of which make you wonder how they get through a day, much less come to school and get an education. Through our equity programs and practices and students' perseverance, our students are able to achieve academically and thrive. One of my former students, who is also a former academic decathlon team captain, stated this very eloquently in her application to UC Berkeley. "School became a safe haven, a place where finally I was deemed worthy and exceptional. I soon realized that academia could be the panacea that freed me from the all-too-confusing chains of abuse, trauma, and anger that would otherwise haunt me for the rest of my life. School enabled me to overcome even the most painful aspects of my formative years and reclaim the power it held in me." My student, Maya, did in fact go on to UC Berkeley. She earned her bachelor's degree with high honors. She is now an intern at the Aspen Institute in Washington, D.C., where her younger sister, Zoe, our most recent valedictorian, is attending Georgetown University as well. Just today, I heard from Maya. She sent me a press release entitled, "University of Berkeley Alum Awarded Prestigious Pickering Fellowship," which speaks of her diversity and the equity that she received here. For decades, this district has lauded and taken pride in its diversity, as has our community as a whole. It is now time to pay more than lip service to those concepts. We need to move beyond mottos and slogans. We now need actions to match. We need to move beyond the cliche, I don't see color or I don't see differences, because that actually ignores every single student's background and life experiences and sets up a worldview that all students are exactly the same, which is patently untrue. Let our students know that you truly see them, all of them, each and every one of them, that you respect them, that you value them and their diversity, and that you view their diversity, our diversity, as a positive to be celebrated, honored, and protected, as opposed to something that should be fixed or ignored or merely part of some letterhead. You will not alter our diversity by ignoring it or denying it. You will only serve to hurt and anger others, our students, their families, your teachers and staff. And that hurt, that damage, is extremely difficult to repair. Robert F. Kennedy once said, "Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a ripple of hope." This evening, MUTA is sending forth that ripple. And our students, your students, need you, the board, to do so as well. Thank you.
New President Randy Davis, Board, Cabinet. I'm here today for a very short comment. We were able to meet very quickly with Dr. Rocco Greco, resolve a matter that was an outstanding matter from last year's tentative agreement, the one that we did in July. Within an hour, we were able to resolve that, and I appreciate the quick timeline. It was able to be resolved and placed on your agenda. I can also report that a very outstanding grievance that I talked about at the last board meeting, we have an agreement in principle, and we should get it in writing in a couple of days. And so I think that that's a good way of moving forward at the end of the year, resolving matters that employees have. And so I just want to thank the board for appointing him to allow this matter to get resolved quickly. I think sometimes new blood is needed to help look at things a little differently. Superintendent, I'd like to thank you for the effort that you've put into this as well. But saying that also requires us to continue to work to resolve matters on a daily basis. On a daily basis, folks call me, I call the district, and we try to schedule meetings and meet and resolve issues. It's a very simple process. It's outlined in the law. It's outlined in our contract. And so moving forward for next year, we hope to move forward and continue this great effort that we have up to this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you. California School Employees Association, number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Now we move into public comment. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comments card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or secretary. Regular board meetings, the public may address topics not on the agenda during the session of the agenda or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. We have a number of public comments. I'll try to pronounce your names correctly, sorry. Tyler Krieger. Sorry, I got one more thing to say. The Ralph M. Brown Act, prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code, Section 54954-2, states no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of the legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by the person exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954-3. Sorry, I'm learning as we go here. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, and we have the timers in front of you. 20 minutes total time for public comment on each item per Board Bylaw 9323. Okay. Tyler, thank you.
Good evening, board members and superintendent. I was employee number 8056, and I'm here tonight because I'm very concerned about MJUSD's future. It's important that you and the public know the facts and sequences of events of what's been going on over the last 2 months while I have been left to dangle on unpaid administrative leave, and that has led to my employment being officially terminated in closed session today. I loved my 3 years working as a math teacher at Lyndhurst High School, but in the summer of 2018, the DO contacted me about reassigning me to assistant principal at Yuba Gardens. I never interviewed for this position. I was appointed and reassigned. I have copies of these emails describing these events, and I'd be happy to share them with you. During my 3 years at YG, I did great work, demonstrated by the highest evaluation ratings possible. Additionally, not one time in my 3 years did any of my supervisors or anyone from HR ever contact me stating that I had a credentialing issue that needed attention. I can confidently say that I was doing my job with excellence while daily demonstrating high morality and complete honesty in 100% of my actions and behaviors. I love my schools and my kids, but here we are with an abrupt termination without due process by the superintendent. Here's how the events transpired. On October 18th, I received a call that the day that I had just started would be my last. No notice, no evidence of wrongdoing, just, you can't be there anymore. The options that were given to me were a forced resignation or to be terminated. The resignation option felt like I was being bullied into resigning, so I chose to not be bullied. On October 26th, when I came into the DO to view my personnel file, my request was first rejected, only to be called back into the DO, escorted to the superintendent's office to be blindsided with slanderous termination paperwork. Never in my entire career have I ever done anything immoral, dishonest, or insubordinate. So you can imagine my surprise, anger, and disgust to see those words used to describe me. My character and integrity have always been beyond reproach, and yet both have been attacked without any concrete examples or specific evidence. Over the past 2 months, I have repeatedly reached out to the district and its attorney to attempt to work through whatever issues they have with me, but after days or sometimes even multiple weeks between responses, it's clear they're not willing to do so. Even a simple courtesy of honoring my request of due process in the form of a hearing with you has apparently been ignored, because here I am on the agenda as a terminated employee without being able to share my story with you in a 3-minute timer. I even offered to go back to teach at Lyndhurst. They said no. They'd rather have no one than me. Why? Board, I'm thankful for your time, your leadership, integrity, and fairness in how you lead. My one request at this point is please learn from the unjust way in which I have been treated. Please don't assume what you're hearing in closed session is fact. Ask questions, do the math, and please do better for those who are still here. Thank you for your time.
Next is a Tammy Stroll. Hi. Sorry, I can't pronounce it.
Strollzini.
So, come on up.
Mr. Davis, don't let the A get in the way.
what I tell everybody. Good evening, members of the board. According to an article written on the CalMatters website, in the 2021 school year, 13,558 of California's teachers retired, 1,000 more than the previous year, according to data from CalSTRS. The CTC says that 20,000 teachers must be credentialed each year to keep up with the staffing needs of districts across the state. But last year, only about 14,000 teachers received their credentials. And although this year's state budget includes a historic amount of funding from California schools, no amount of money can overcome the bottom line of a personnel shortage. The future outlook does not appear to be much better. It is for this reason that we need to do better at focusing on the hiring and retaining of highly qualified educators for this district. Just yesterday, one of my colleagues mentioned this very topic, the need for us to do whatever we can to attract and retain educators in MJUSD. Unfortunately, he was referring to potential candidates passing on our district after either seeing or hearing that our school board does not necessarily believe in providing students all the supports and services they need throughout their educational years in our district. But I'm going to take this a step further. If a candidate is searching for a teaching position and sees the surrounding districts providing quality health care plans at a reasonable rate, and sees surrounding districts offering increases of 4%, 5%, even more to the educators to help them keep up with the astronomical and unprecedented cost of living increases, and then takes a look at our district, where thus far only a 2% salary increase has been offered, even though the district itself received over a 5% COLA this year, and if they get wind that because of the various costly deductions, they will end up with a disposable net income monthly income less than someone working a standard 9-to-5 job, then the probability is high that this person will choose to go elsewhere. This board needs to do better. This board needs to see the value of its educators and provide them a salary increase that will allow not only the teachers currently working for this district, but also all those potential teachers looking closely at joining our ranks, the ability to keep up with the ever-increasing cost of living. And the board needs to see the worth of providing students a well-rounded educational experience that takes into consideration all of what they need to be successful. We have what seems to be a never-ending list of job openings for teachers in this district, and I foresee in the years to come it'll become much more difficult to fill those positions if we don't start now doing everything possible to bring those candidates in. You guys are about to approve another significant increase in substitute pay. Why not consider doing the same for the people who spend 180 days in your classrooms providing all students, whatever means necessary, a high-quality education? Thank you.
Ari Mallow.
When we talk about this, you realize 27 states in the country, in this country, have bowed out of the educational system. They don't want to play the politics of it anymore. They've gotten out of the national school district. Why? Because what you guys are doing, and I told you this a long time ago, by mandating the mask again because Gavin Newsom thinks he's a dictator, he's a tyrant, to put masks on our kids again. Now, I come here speaking for the parents. I've told you that over and over again. And you guys don't listen. The parents don't want their kids masked, period. Now, there's some that do, and this is a free country. Right? So you have the choice, freedom of choice. You don't get to dictate. You don't get to dictate. You don't get to dictate what this country represents. And that is the freedom of choice. Now we're talking about introducing the equity. It was voted on. It was voted down. You want to know why? The parents don't want it in this county. To teach our kids because of the color of their skin or their gender, they don't have the same equal rights in this country and the freest country in the world. What's happening is nothing short of what Hitler did. Gavin Newsom is Mr. Hitler, and you're his regime. What he says, you do. And the parents are fed up with it. Now, I've been in another battle. That's why you haven't seen my face in here. But we're coming back. And Lee Dundas is a civil rights attorney. She's coming with me. So I warned you. I tried to tell you nicely. Now we're going to file lawsuits on you. That's all I really have to say.
Dennis Keeney?
Well, basically, I have about the same to say as him, except, you know, we're doing this to the most vulnerable there is. Kids, children, kindergartners. Do you think that is doing any kind of emotional symptoms to them, breakdowns to them? And some of you have grandkids in schools that don't have masks, but yet you want to push it on our kids. You know, this was started out at 2 weeks. Now we're at 2 years. Have you ever talked to the kindergarten teachers, up to maybe the fourth grade teachers, and see what they thought, how it was going with all the kids? Their expressions, learning their language. We want to help everybody that's not learning so fast, but here we're doing that to them. It holds them back more. I don't understand you guys. I really don't understand it. But I guess you're going to continue it until something not so good happens. Teenagers. Mental health says that suicide's up by 50% in girls since this pandemic. 5% for boys. But does that mean anything to you guys? I don't know. It don't seem like anything matters. Face masks, let alone the vaccine. How do you guys feel about it? You guys ain't won't answer, I know. But how long are you going to carry this on? Are we going to go through another year of listening to Gavin? Because you know his kids ain't wearing masks in their schools either. You guys are all above everybody else, right? Pretty sad. Pretty sad that these kids, little kids, have to walk around in masks. I mean, half of California lives in fear, walking, going to the grocery stores with their damn 8-month-old baby in a mask. It's not good. It's not good what's going on with kids, young kids. But they're going to study it, right? We're going to study it for 2 years, 3 years, right? But then it's too late, right?
Thank you. Sandra Mallow.
President Davis and board, I'm speaking on the equity. I have an excerpt. It says, using the racial equity tools, we borrow a principle of community organizing. To bring about transformation, you have to meet people where they are and give them tools to build their own knowledge and self-change. These tools reflect this idea and are inherently flexible approaches with practical activities embedded within them. Though the tools are organized into four phases, they naturally support a race-focused, race-focused continuous improvement process, inquiring and observing, experimenting with changes, and evaluating progress and learning. This is an excerpt from the Center for Urban Education. It's a management resource you have listed in your special report section for the equity. If equity is based upon the principle that all students should have the right to be educated free from institutional bias, why are you supporting a race-focused approach? Number 4 of your policy states, building a positive school climate. How do you plan to build a positive student environment when it appears you will be focusing on races? Will this mean that instead of teaching students, they will be thought of as a certain race instead of a child that needs an education, whether that child be special needs or in the mainstream classroom? Race-focused improvement process just screams segregation to me. We should be striving to come together, not divide. In the board's administrative regulation for AR-0415, Equity Section G states, teach, encourage, and model the responsible use of social media for all students, as well as informing students of the consequences of inappropriate posts. Does the definition of responsible use mean to encourage the students to not threaten, to not harm, to not badger or bully another student on social media? Or will it become only appropriate posts are the ones that agree with the narratives that the teachers hold? Will the teachers strive to help students use critical thinking and the ability to form their own opinion and ask questions? Or will the teachers, educators now become Facebook fact checkers? Thank you.
Seth Steiner.
I was raised in this school district. When I was a student here, luckily I had many teachers who learned from this nation's past and taught their students the hard lessons that we were fortunate enough not to have to learn the hard way. We were taught what segregation was. We were taught that a person's worth was not determinant on their skin color. We were taught to never again let this happen. We were taught that a person's character defined them. We were taught that we were all equals and equally capable. Some were not given a crutch that others were not, especially not based on skin color. That would be preposterous. But back then, common sense wasn't a racist concept, nor was it rationed for the privileged. When I grew up, segregation and racism was a thing of the past where it belongs. It never reared its head up in school, at home, or in society, because it wasn't talked about, and it wasn't artificially fostered like we see every day in the mainstream. So who was lying? All of our teachers in schools 20, 30, 40 years ago? When we didn't deal with it? Or are we being lied to today? My 6- and 4-year-old has never, throughout Sunday school, preschool, kindergarten, or first grade, ever asked me why many of their friends have different colored skin. Not once. They don't see differences. They see their friends. And if they do notice a difference, why would they care? This concept of racial divide is completely foreign to our children. Why are we robbing them of their innocence and planting seeds of division? It's plain evil. Gary Criddle opened dialogue last month to the parents of this community after it was voted down already once before. I'll rehash to you what I said to him regarding SEL. Of course, this leads to CRT. One can plainly see this is a stepping stone which leads directly to this garbage. SEL teaches our students to cultivate and foster emotions which inhibit their growth. Yes, we should listen to one's feelings, but not when these are feelings of natural anxiety and natural fear of the unknown. These things should be pushed through by confronting head-on and growing past it, not fostered. We are breeding children that are incapable of using logic, reason, and perseverance to overcome problems. That's what this rubbish is teaching. It is weak leadership from the top down into the classrooms that is bringing this. How about curriculum based on team settings, building things which are with our hands, which require a group effort, things that teach our children that we need people, not color? Why don't we make public speaking a required class, a class that teaches eye contact, using words to communicate again, something that breeds productivity and growth, and stop fostering anger, emasculation, and gender confusion with emotions that don't lend to anything productive. Keep your equity away from me and my children. Equity implies there is something earned and owed. My children don't owe anybody anything. And they won't grow up learning in school that there is inherent guilt or social debt baked into their skin. You are destroying your own futures with this garbage.
Johanna LaSagra.
So good evening. When we met back here on 11-9, the board policy of equity was on the agenda. Per Robert's Rules of Order, a motion needs to be made for reconsideration. That motion needs to be made by a person who voted on the side that prevailed. That person making the motion also needs to explain why they feel that it needs to be reconsidered. So when you go to put it down there on the agenda, You need to follow Robert's rules, and that needs to be, that needs to happen. So there's a part of me, I'm very torn here, but there's a part of me that feels that both sides are saying the same thing. We all believe that kids need to be treated equally. They all need to be given the same help and the same chances to succeed. I do not understand why race needs to be brought into the discussion. In fact, I find it discriminatory and racist to do so. When we start talking about a child's socioeconomic level, skin color, as well as nationality, then there is a problem. That should never come into play. The bottom line is that when a child needs help, they should get it. Every child, regardless of race or socioeconomic level, needs to be pushed to the highest level that that child can attain. Never should a child be kept at a level that is status quo. They should be encouraged to be better, to do better, and to succeed. Never should a child be held back to a level of another peer if that student can excel further. And I find it really, really hard in my mind that a teacher doesn't want that same thing. So it's the verbiage within this equity clause that's the problem. Because I truly believe that neither side is racist. It's the verbiage that's within that 0415. And here's some of it. So when you talk about the unintentional biases and prejudices that affect student achievement and to eliminate disparities in educational outcomes for students from historically underserved and underrepresented populations, the district shall proactively identify class and cultural biases as well as practices, policies, and institutional barriers that negatively influence student learning, perpetuate achievement gaps, and impede equal access to opportunities for all students. You're talking about keeping kids at the same level. So when you use the verbiage of considering whether its decisions address the needs of students from racial, ethnic, and indigent communities and remedy the inequities that such communities experience in the context of history of exclusion, discrimination, and segregation, then you're being racist. Routinely assessing student needs based on data disaggregated by race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds in order to enable equity-focused policy planning and resource development decisions, then you're being racist. This needs to stop. The SEL and the critical race theory is racist, and it needs to stop, and it needs to stop right now.
Carlson.
All right, for my public comment, I'm actually going to invite somebody into the room who's been long dismissed. His name's Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to pray. And I got a good 2 minutes, 46 seconds, 45. So if you'd like to bow your heads, if you'd like to, whatever, I'm going to acknowledge the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we all bow before You, whether we choose to do it now on this earth or whether we choose to do it when we are called to face You in the judgment. God, I ask that You would forgive Marysville Joint Unified School District for kicking You out of the classroom. Lord Jesus, when school was established, we know that children were taught by Your word. Words from the Bible were read, and that is how education started. And that is how this nation is one of the greatest nations in the world, because we acknowledge the Creator. We acknowledge that our rights came from You. And Lord Jesus, I just pray tonight, I pray, God, that as we put our heads on our pillows, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to our hearts. God, that there would come a great revival in this area. And I pray for the remnant. I pray for the children. That's why we're here even at this meeting. God, it's all about the kids. Lord Jesus, I pray for the children. The ones that are having a hard time tonight, the ones that are contemplating suicide, the ones that are being abused at home. God, I pray because of the choices that we have made, that this school board has made to lock down, to fall in line, to be good little Nazis. God help us, Lord Jesus. I pray that the fear of God would come upon this community, and Holy Spirit, that you would set us free, and that you would, Jesus, help us. God, I ask that a legion of angels would be released for revival in this community. You are our only hope, and I acknowledge you. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we have correspondence to the district. Kimberly Davis.
Russell, can you set the timer for 6 minutes, please?
Yeah, you have 6 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Kimberly Davis. I have two students that attend MHS, a freshman and a senior. I am asking the board to recognize the track and field for what it is, a classroom. In fact, it's the largest classroom on campus. It's a classroom that's been neglected for years. Every student who walks onto this campus as a freshman uses this classroom for a minimum of 2 years. This is also a classroom that is unusable for a minimum of 4 months out of each year. I quote for you the MJUSD mission statement. The Marysville Joint Unified School District, in partnership with our staff, students, their families, and the community, will provide each student with the most appropriate educational opportunities in a safe environment. Now I'll read for you, does this sound like an appropriate and safe environment? The track is slippery on any given day, wet or dry, as it is 97-year-old packed dirt, sand, and gravel. The track holds water, which causes it to be unusable, whether from rain or regular sprinkler use. The large puddles remain, the track becomes even more slippery and very soggy. These conditions can last for weeks and even up to a few months. On hot and windy days, it becomes a dust bowl, creating unbreathing air conditions. The light poles are another issue. They are old and decaying. Most of them lean heavily and are not properly secured. The field itself has multiple holes, gopher and alike. It's uneven, and as mentioned above, the field stays soggy due to rain or sprinkler use. This year alone, there has been a minimum of 4 student injuries due to using the track for PE. 2 of these injuries have required ambulances. There have been 9 sports-related injuries on the track this year. 1 of those was a fracture. Continued vandalism is a problem. Inappropriate and offensive pictures and words are continually being carved into the track, some of which can be construed as sexual harassment. Again, these can last for days, weeks, and months. This is the only classroom on campus that cannot be securely locked. Anyone at any time can walk into this classroom. The fencing that separates the track and field from the street has 2 gate openings. 1, closest to 18th Street, doesn't even have a gate to be closed or locked. The other, closest to Rideout Way, has a foot-wide gap when closed. I personally have found shards of glass on the track, 2 steak knives on the field, and homeless sleeping near the soccer goal. As a parent and a community member, I am very concerned for the safety of all students who use this classroom, not to mention the community members, young, old, and families of all ages that also use this track and field for exercise and other activities. There have been multiple instances of unauthorized vehicles on the track, at least 1 while there were students running on the track. This goes without saying is unacceptable. I quote for you the MJUSD vision statement. The Marysville Joint Unified School District operates in an environment which creates lifelong learners, is fiscally sound, and fosters partnership between the district, community, students, and staff. Where's the partnership with the community, students, and staff? community. The track and field are not only dangerous and outdated, but is an eyesore the community has to look at. Like me, I'm sure most of the community who do not attend MHS assumes this is only a practice track. They assume the real track is located around the football field, for this is where most tracks are located. It is embarrassing when people realize this is all we have, this is all we provide for our kids. MHS has a great history. Our community, staff, and students should be proud of that. We should have the ability to share it by having the ability to host different events at the track and field. Partnership with the students. As a parent of a track and field student, I know firsthand how important and beneficial the sport is to our children. Track and field teaches many skills like teamwork, self-confidence, responsibility, and so many others. The track and field team make up a quarter of the student body. That is 100 student-plus students who work to keep their grades up and work very hard to represent MHS to the best of their ability. Our PE teachers and coaches love our kids and work very hard with the inadequate, outdated, and unsafe facilities available to them. I can only imagine where and how far our kids could go if they had the safe and updated facility available to show their pride, skills, and confidence. If you want to create lifelong learners, you have, as you say in your mission statement, then our kids need a safe, adequate, and up-to-date facility to develop their social and emotional well-being. Partnership with the staff. The issue of safety has been brought to your attention many times by many different staff members and community members over the years. They are not concerns of vanity or greed. They were not brought to your attention to waste your time. They have been legitimate concerns of safety. It is our PE teachers and coaches that must deal with the lack of safety of the track every day. They are the ones that have to talk to the parents of a hurt child. They are the ones that have to look into the face of that hurt child. The fact that their concerns have been ignored or dismissed over the years makes us feel like you do not value the opinion of our staff or the commitment they make to, they have to our children. It is not only students who would benefit from a new facility. Home games bring with them
school spirit. Your time is up.
I have clarifying questions, Ms. Davis,
okay,
if you don't mind. How long have you been talking about the track?
I have, the only meetings I've been to have unfortunately only been Zoom meetings, but so for the last 2 years. My son's freshman year, I came to a board meeting to represent the person that was speaking for the track. So for 4 years, I've been advocating for this. Two years personally.
Thank you. Your passions and concerns have been heard and acknowledged, so thank you very much.
Now we have two elementary school presentations for Brown Valley and Cordova.
Good evening, members of the board, Superintendent Asrani, Dr. Greco, Ms. Pasalia. Thank you guys for giving me some time today to talk about my two schools. My name is Heather Marshall. I'm the principal at Browns Valley and Cordova Elementary. I have to tell you before I start that when I was driving here, a teacher texted me, and I know some of them are watching and a few of them are here. I work with the best people. And one of my teachers texted me, good luck. And I responded, are you kidding? Like, I get to stand up here and talk about what you guys are doing. So I just wanted to acknowledge that before I start. A couple of pictures of our school and our mission statement. This is Browns Valley. I'm not sure if you can see. And Cordova. So I'm here specifically to talk a little bit about our school's priorities and how we spend our categorical funds in our SIPSA, or our site plan. So there's several things that we use to make decisions for what we'll spend our money on, keeping an eye on time. And I listed them here. We use the TFI, a tiered fidelity inventory, and that comes from our PBIS program. We use PBIS data, which I'll show you a little bit of next. Some of our state testing results, the STAR reading levels assessment, our accelerated reader program data, talking with PTAs at both schools, and our site council too. So this is an example of what some of our data looks like, and this is for Cordova. There's a similar slide for Browns Valley. And this is where we track our referrals for our school. And so you can see that for Cordova, as of 12/2, we had 6 referrals. We're a small school. And the first chart breaks down by grade level, where our referrals primarily happen. You can see that they're largely in 4th and 5th grade. It's reflective of Browns Valley, too. And then we also track where they happen. So you can see that most of them happen at the playground and on the field. We use this data in our PBIS Tier 1 meetings. We talk a lot about, okay, if that's where our challenging areas are, what can we do to fix those issues? I can tell you that at Cordova, we decided to put some tables out on the field, and then we did an inventory for our 4th and 5th graders. What do you want to do during recess? And they came up with some games they wanted, and we bought them, and it helped. We also track, using our PBIS data, our student recognition. And so you'll see in the different classes, there's a light blue and a dark blue bar. And the light blue shows students who have been publicly recognized, and that means at our awards assemblies each month. And then also students who have not been recognized yet. And so we use that to talk about what should we do to try to get recognition for our students. We do things like have goals group with our outreach consultant, talking with kids about how they can meet their different goals. And then here's an example of some of that STAR data and the AR growth data. The first one shows the STAR growth for our students who took the STAR test. And I don't really have a pointer, but it shows where they started their scaled score and where they were at the time of their second test. And then the second one shows the amount of students or percentage of students who have met their AR goals and ones who did not yet. So this is a similar set of data for Browns Valley, showing referrals by grade level and location of referrals. Similar data showing students recognized publicly and students not yet recognized at Browns Valley, and that STAR growth and the AR growth. And so when we're putting together our site plans for both schools, we look at what are the district's LCAP goals, what can we make as a school goal that falls underneath that, and then we take into account all of those different data metrics that I talked about before, too. So just for sake of time and space, I wrote, and they're very similar if they're different at all, Cordova and Browns Valley's Goal 1 and Goal 2, and I'll read it because it's tiny, but our Goal 1 falls under the umbrella of the district's LCAP Goal 1. And it says all students will make progress towards proficiency of the Common Core state standards for their grade level, as evidenced through improved test scores from both interim and summative CAS testing, district benchmarks, and other content and curricular assessments. And Goal 2 is really about PBIS for us, which is why I talked about it so much. And it says establish a positive school climate built on clear expectations for students and recognition and reinforcement of positive behaviors. I snipped a screenshot of our budget, our categorical budget for Cordova and Browns Valley. And so this shows how much money we were allocated in Title I, in our Title I carryover, our targeted carryover. And this specifically is our categorical budgets and not our unrestricted lottery funds. And I also did this for Browns Valley. It looks different. You guys have heard more times than you can count, I'm sure, about how Browns Valley does not get Title I funding. So the only thing included in our SIPSA is our targeted budgets. So because it is such a large part of our site plan and our funding sources and a district initiative, I put a little bit about where we are in PBIS for each school. At Cordova, we are in Tier 1. Tier 1 is just that stuff that we give to all kids, that recognition, those posters that you see as you're walking campuses that show clear expectations. And here are some examples of some of the PBIS that you can see at Cordova. Our posters. We have those vending machines that many schools have. We incorporated them into our PBIS program. In that, both schools have like a monetary system, Comet Cash at Cordova and Beaver Bravos at Browns Valley. And so each, well, it's different at each school, but students have a chance to spend that money. And for 10 Beaver Bravos or $10 of their Comet Cash, they can get a coin to use in the book vending machine. It's a pretty big deal. They do love it. And another thing that we do, too, at both schools, this one is just showing one at Cordova, but we try to let them use that monetary system for experiences and not just trinkets. And so that gingerbread house that you see, my outreach consultant put out like a little flyer saying for a certain amount of Comet Cash, they could buy into doing gingerbread decorating at Cordova. So that was fun. Just some things that we were proud of happening at Cordova this year. You know, it's been a tough year for everyone for sure, but we have had some really great moments. We had fourth and fifth graders go on the Salmon Expedition field trip. We had a Falcon assembly, which was very cool. We have a science assembly coming in the spring. We still had Red Ribbon Week. We had a fall field day for kids outside. And we're pretty excited about that book vending machine, too. Just a couple of pictures of the Falcon assembly. West Coast Falconry came, and it was so exciting. That little owl in the middle, his name was Hamish, and the falconer told me that he's the lady killer of their group. Super cute, like this little. And here are some of our students at Cordova on the salmon expedition. And I'm almost to the end. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Browns Valley PBIS. We've been working for a little bit longer on PBIS there, so we have, I feel, really got our Tier 1 system down. It's largely due to the team and the teachers that are there. We're working on Tier 2, which is what if that first tier doesn't work and students need a little bit more? There's a lot here that I won't have time for, but we have PBIS parent websites for both schools that are linked here. And we've had some really fun moments at Browns Valley, too, similar moments. Salmon Expedition field trip. We had Red Ribbon Week there, too. I wanted to say that if you've been to the Browns Valley Harvest Festival, it's a big deal every year, and we have not been able to have it for several years. And the PTA at Browns Valley took it on this year. Dr. Osrani, you came. It was so wonderful to have that again. They did it at the Little League field next to the school, and it was such a big win for the community. So way to go, Browns Valley PTA. And we're getting an after-school program. Thank you, district, for helping us make that happen. We are so excited. Couple of pictures from some of the stuff that we're doing at Browns Valley. You can see our PBIS posters. I wish you could see this a little bit better because in the upper right-hand corner, we were supposed to have a Falcon assembly at Browns Valley too, and it's rescheduled for the spring because we had bad weather. So in that picture is a wonderful teacher, Miss Cherry, pretending to be a falconer, and a staff member dressed up as a turkey, posing as a falcon, just to make the kids laugh while we waited for our assembly. And I wanted to point out, too, there's like that little red carpet. That was one of the experiences that Browns Valley PBIS team came up with, so students could save up their Beaver Bravos and walk the red carpet at one of our assemblies. You'd be surprised how much they like it, and Cherry makes it really fun for them. Our Browns Valley students on the salmon expedition. That's all I have, unless you have any questions. I do want to say thank you again, and say again, I work with the best people. I just got to share with you what they're doing.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mrs. Marshall, I would like to just, again, thank you for all that you're doing. And I did have a question on the, so both schools got to do the salmon experience. And,
yes.
And, you know, that's through one of our partnerships with the Yuba Water Agency. And how many of those kids do you think have ever been on the Yuba River before that experience?
Maybe a couple up there at Browns Valley, but not many of them for sure. Yeah. And they loved it. The stuff they came back and told me, I mean, so cool. We're so lucky where we live, and grateful for the Yuba Water Agency for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you again for everything that you do.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we have updates from the superintendent's office, business services.
Good evening. I have a few updates to share with you tonight. They're more about meetings up ahead. We have a facilities committee meeting that will be held Thursday, February 3rd, in this room, in the boardroom, from 3:30 to 4:30. On February 2nd, we're going to have a budget study session with capital advisors coming in to present to us the upcoming 22-23 budget proposals. And we look for the information on our website. The governor's budget workshop is next month. Mr. Davis, Ms. Hasty, and Angela Stiegel are going to join the executive cabinet in traveling to Sacramento to hear what the governor has to say about our budget. And I'd also like to take this time to thank MUTA, OE3, and CSEA for our first of many bargaining meetings for the 21-22 school year. We look forward to working together to support our employees. And tonight, I will be presenting the first interim budget report, and I welcome any questions or clarifications during the report. And lastly, wearing my risk management hat, CDPH announced today that effective tomorrow, December 15th through January 15th, there's a new mask guidance, that all masks must be worn indoors in all public places, regardless of vaccine status. Thank you.
Thank you. Educational services?
Hello. There we go. So a few updates. As you've kind of heard through some of the meetings today, there's a lot of partnerships that are happening in this community. And I just want to commend the community and a few different organizations for things that have happened over these past couple of years through COVID. So just recently, through a group called Say Love, we were doing a community event, and it was a park cleanup. So we met at Friendship Park, which is out off Alicia Avenue near Cedar Lane. And when we got there, there was not really any people using it. A lot of graffiti everywhere. It was covered up pretty badly. So we decided to do a park cleanup. We came back, did some graffiti cleanup, cleaned up the ramps, did some muraling, cleaned up the park, got some swings hung. And the next week, they came back and saw that kids were starting to use the park. People were back out there again. The reason I bring that up is so Seth Fuhrer and Rachel Down, some of the people at the county, continued with that idea. And once they saw that people were using the park and it was getting a lot of attention, they are actually holding a community meeting tonight at Cedar Lane, and they're looking to get a $2 million revitalization grant for the park there in that community. So it's just another one of the ways that the community is coming together. It ties into the work that Dr. Asrani is doing with our advisory committee. The goal of trying to bring as many partners in through city council, through the county, parks and rec for our kids in the afternoon so that they have something to do. when they're outside of school, just trying to take that experience and create structure in their lives so that they can be better students and have better lives as they move on through our school system. From that as well, from the educational services part, you've heard tonight about the salmon expedition, so we want to thank the Water Agency for all the work that they've done with that experience. You also see schools for the first time in several years going back to Shady Creek, so it's nice to see kids getting that outdoor experience. The value and appreciation of nature is something that we definitely want to bring, and all of these things tie into some of the STEM efforts that you'll see that are coming to the district now. So with that as well, we wanted to thank MUTA for their continued support of the Common Assessment Project and moving forward our curricular endeavors. A lot of things are starting to come together after the last couple of years. And so with that, we just wanted to thank everybody for their efforts in that. Continue from the community, anyone out there listening, if you have ideas or ways that we can partner, please continue to bring those to us. And thank you very much.
Personnel Services.
That's me as well. So from Personnel Services, as you can see through the agenda, there's been a lot of movement. You can see that there's been a lot of hiring done. And I'd just like to give a lot of thanks to the ladies in the HR department. So Mary Hicks, Yvonne, and Bobby. They've done a lot of work in trying to make sure that we have substitutes available. We've partnered with the NorCal sub-consortium to try and bring more relief. And in that, wanting to thank the teachers that are covering for all of the absences that we have when they're out. We know that we're short-staffed. It's a nationwide issue that we're having. But in that, our staff continues to step up and assist. We're trying to do everything we can to fill those gaps moving forward.
Thank you. Dr. Ashrani.
Thank you so much. I'd just like to start off thanking the board for your trust in our recommendation of appointing Dr. Greco. I see Ms. Stratton at the back, and I think Mr. Tower is not here today. Just wanted to let you know what a phenomenal job these three individuals have been doing, and it's such a good step forward for the district. On that note, I know there's, you know, we continue to tell our community that you address the board in a manner as though we have the right or the privilege to make changes, and we've been telling you over and over again, please take your voice to the Capitol. Make it heard where it can make a difference. So that's very important that you continue to do that. We thank you for the way you have addressed the board today, because it's been very difficult on behalf of the whole district for us to sit here and for my board to be treated in a lot of disrespectful way in the last few months. So I thank you from my position for the tone of voice you've used today. For the survey, we did send out a strategic planning survey, and we really want our community to please give us your input. And from to what Mrs. Davis has talked about, the facilities in Marysville High, the beautiful auditorium, those kind of questions are all there. We need your input for the programs, for the services we provide our students. So please give us your input on that survey. It's open till, I believe, January 20th, right? 21st, 22nd. So it's on the website. Please take that survey. Excellent feedback from the Superintendent's Council. Thank you so much, Mr. Criddle. Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen, for being there. We had about 15 members of the community, the Chief of Police, the Superintendent from the county, Mr. Reed from the Arts Council, Mr. Hasty, and many others. It's just that the work we do as a district, the work I do, And the team that I lead, we can't do this by ourselves. We need the help of the community. We need the expertise, the positive energy that comes with coming to the table, rolling up your sleeves, and working with us to move the district to the next level of excellence. A couple of weeks ago, the district, the board, you approved 24-hour tutoring for our students. Thank you for that. Today you'll be able to look at our proposal for 24 hours of mental health services, like a concierge community that will support our students, our staff, our families to be able to avail of mental health services and resources on a phone call and an email away. So we're excited about that. Also want to thank Mr. Doug Criddle for your patience with us at CSBA. We learned a lot. Dr. Greco, myself, and Mr. Criddle went to San Diego, and I'm hoping next year we'll have a lot more board members to go with us. Some districts had all the boards with them. It was a wonderful opportunity to learn about
All these mandates we talk about, the legalities, we went and attended a law session with lawyers for the state and asking them about this mandate. You know, why is it carrying on? What's going on? So we got some input on that. And finally, I would like to thank my friends in Muta. I know we're getting to know each other. I'd like to thank Mr. Huerta. I think he's in the crowd. You know, as we work together and move the district forward, we can't do it alone. We have to do it with our teachers, our classified, our parents, our students working together, again, for the benefit of our children. We are here for the kids. So I want to end with a best wish to all of you for happy holidays. Have a wonderful new year and have a safe new year. Please take care of yourselves, and we look forward to seeing you back in 2022. So thank you.
Thank you. Now we have the approval of minutes. We have minutes from the regular board meeting 11-9-21 and minutes from the special board meeting 12-7. Are there any corrections to the minutes? If not, I hear a motion.
A motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Frank voted no.
Abstention.
Sorry, Frank. Okay. Now we have the consent agenda. Do any of the members have any items that they wish pulled from the consent agenda? If not, do I hear a motion to approve? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now we move to new business. Okay, first item of business is the resolution 2021-22/10, calling for the state officials to recommend and not require the COVID-19 vaccine for students and staff. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board to approve the resolution to call state officials to recommend and not require the COVID-19 vaccine for students and staff. Is there any discussion? Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug Criddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Second item, approve the agreement with CARE Solus for second semester of 2021-2022 school year. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board to approve.
Just one second. I think she had a comment on the motion, right here, on the resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Joanna? Sorry.
I had one. I will withdraw my comment, but we are entitled to have comments before you guys make your ruling.
Thank you. Moving on. Approval of the agreement with CARE Solus for the second semester of 2021-22 school year. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board to approve the agreement with CARE Solus to provide 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for mental health and substance use services for students, staff, and families in the district. These services will be available from January 3rd through June 30th, 2022. Do we have any discussion?
I have a question. We have, this says Mandarin and Cantonese, but I'm concerned about our Hmong population in our district.
I can't hear you.
I'm glad that they have English, Spanish, Mandarin, and Cantonese, but I'm wondering about the Hmong population, and will they address?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
So, staff, do we have any discussion on that, maybe Dr. Greco, about what languages this is?
Is it possible to request specifically Hmong translation for?
Let me take the response to that. Thank you. I know Ms. Hasty asked that question. We do have KSLS available to answer that question, but I know that when they presented to us and they went through the details, there are more than a dozen languages that people available to talk to. Whether Hmong is available or not, I'm not quite sure. I did put the question out. I'm sure they'll let us know. I don't want to make a promise that I'm not sure. It's not one of the international languages. I'm not quite sure. But we'll get. I think they're available. Is KSLS online right now? I think they're on Zoom. They might be available to answer that question. But we can find it for you and get back to you. But we hear your concern. We do. He said, do you want to ask him directly right now? Yeah, maybe. Are they available for us, Russell? It's all right. It's okay. We'll get the information from Ms. Hasty and we'll respond to her after the meeting.
Dennis, did you want to speak?
Resolution.
Yes, please. Sorry, we missed
it. I mean,
it.
You just pass it to send it like it is to the governor, like it is written right now? Is that what you just did?
We passed it.
To send it like it is? Well, I think that's pretty sugar-coated and with no emphasis on the rejection at all of what the people want. And so I think it really needs to be rewritten with some emphasis on that we don't want it at all for our children, the vaccine, let alone the mask. But anyway, here's how this third grade teacher wrote it. I write this letter to urge you in the strongest possible terms to approve Resolution 2022-03 in order to send a message to state leaders that imposing this heavy-handed vaccine mandate will have disastrous ramifications for students. COVID has never been a pediatric disease. In fact, the death rate for the virus among children under 18 is statistically zero. Children are not currently and never have been vulnerable to serve outcomes. State leaders want us to believe that virtual instruction is a viable alternative to parents who choose not to administer a new vaccine which prevents neither acquisition nor spread of the disease to their children. As a teacher who has firsthand knowledge of distance learning, I can say with authority that mandating the children who do not receive this shot be forced back to virtual school is child abuse. I do not say this lightly. I watched the children on my screen and my own two children wither last year due to the isolation, the stress, and the ineffectiveness of learning through a screen. A study by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that distance learning has led to catastrophic learning loss, Teachers across the country are trying to mitigate the academic, behavioral, and social-emotional consequences of this terrible experiment. It must never be allowed to happen. To mandate that children must receive this shot in order to be allowed into a classroom is absolute lunacy. No other state in the country has followed Newsom's lead. In fact, some members of the FDA hesitated fully approving the vaccine because they did not want states to mandate it for children. And Dr. Scott Gottlieb, member of the board of Pfizer, even stated that it should be years before this is added to the schedule of immunizations that children get for school in order to have a time to shift through important data on the outcomes of children who take it. Children have been sacrificed long enough on the altar of keeping the adults safe. Every teacher has had the opportunity to be vaccinated, boosted, and wear the thickest mask they can find. Enough is enough. Let our state government know that they have gone too far with this. Do the right thing and approve this resolution.
This one's not here.
Thank you. I'm going to have to repeat. The next item is the approval of the agreement with the CARE Solace for the second semester of the 2021-22 school year. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with CARE Solace to provide 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year of for mental and substance use services for students and staff and families in the district. These services will be available from January 3rd, 2022 through June 30th, 2022. Is there any discussion? Do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. A second? Second by Mr. Rasmussen. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. The next item under personnel is the addendum to increase long and short-term substitute pay. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the ratification of the substitute pay rate increase approved on 11/9/21. The agenda item requests that the approval be applicable to both long-term and short-term substitutes. Do we have any discussion?
So just a few board meetings back, we brought the short-term or the long-term substitute to $200. This will put the district $30 above any of the surrounding districts. We went and met with the NorCal sub-consortium and went to the last orientation, hoping to bring new subs into the district to help alleviate some of the stress for the teachers.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board members? Do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes. The next item under personal services is approve the salary wage increase for unrepresented employees. The purpose of the item agenda item is to request the board approve the salary wage increase for unrepresented employees rendering service as regular contracted employees. Do we have any discussion?
So this item in alignment with our Me Too clause. For our unrepresented employees, they had settled out for the 2021 school year at 3.5. This brings it up to 4% to match. So this is the additional 0.5% for our unrepresented groups.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board? Do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. A second?
Second.
Second by Doug Kreddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item under personnel, approval of the new job description and position for adult education principal. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the job description for the adult school principal. Is there a discussion?
So along the lines of what you saw from the parents here from the PK Institute earlier, our stakeholder meetings and forums have led to an expressed need for continued education for our parents to support education within our schools. So this position would run the adult education satellite campuses that go across the district in order to support in order to support education through Marysville Joint.
Any discussion from the board?
Through the chair. Could you elaborate a little more on that now?
So looking at parent support for schooling. So we have the PK Institutes, which helps parents look at how you're going to support kids. When you're looking at education level of parents, parents who continue education tend to have students who value education and lead to success. Some of the high needs that we've looked at is the rate of second language acquisition. So for parents who are coming in needing language skills, being able to offer ESL classes, some of the other programs we've seen around are possibly adult welding. So different needs. It can be various in nature based on response from the community. So it's in council with, as we look at the opportunities for getting high school diploma or GED, language acquisition, any of these different things through adult education, also in conjunction with local labor unions and business partners, and being able to create education that leads to employment in our local community.
Well, I'm really happy to see adult ed back, Rocco, because 5 years ago, when did we have adult ed? A good principal, parents, a lot of undocumented citizens would get the civics class there. I got to teach a few of them. It's good to see it back. Thank you very much. And I will, more discussion.
Any further discussion?
I have a question. What will our ADA be for adults?
I didn't hear you.
Sorry. What will the ADA be for the adult ed?
So when looking at apportionment for adult education, it is subsidized primarily by the district. There is opportunities depending on the program. So some of the HISET or GED, there is some matching funds and grants you can look for through the state. But at this point, primarily, there is an ADA claimed in the same way that we would do attendance-wise in the K-12 system.
So it's comparable to a minor?
No.
Do you want me to respond to that? No, it is not. In fact, the adult school is funded by the CAPE funds. It's a different consortium completely. And the adult education is now written in from the state for a different funding source. Attendance is taken. There's a particular rate that comes in. It changes a little bit. I think the new one is changed. In fact, Dr. Greco, myself, and I see Mr. Bob Eckert, I invited him to join us for the adult ed consortium meeting down in Sutter. So we're going to be able to get more information. It changes every 2-3 years. So we don't have the exact information for you, but it is not the same as a K-12 ADA.
Thank you.
Any further discussion by the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion carries. Fourth item under the personnel services is approval of the new job description and position for Director of Curriculum, Assessment, and Accountability. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve for realigning the current Coordinator of Education Services position to Director of Curriculum, Assessment, and Accountability. Given the high level of state and federal accountability tied to the responsibilities of this position, the new title is reflective of the wide range of responsibilities and accountability tied to the position and therefore should be titled as director and not as coordinator. Do we have discussion?
Whoops. that's okay, you're good. In the realignment of departments and being able to support educational services, this position is Amy Stratton's position that was assigned earlier, appointed earlier. This is the job description to that. This position takes a lot of the state, federal, and local accountability measures that go into it, as well as being instrumental in the LCAP, ESSER, and plan development moving forward for educational services.
Will this be reflected in the new organization?
Yes. Yeah, the organizational document that's being corrected will being created will show all of the structures of each department and kind of where things are flowing out, where we see that there's gaps or where we may have overages at this point.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Doug Quiddle. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Asmey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Frank Crawford opposes. The fifth item under personal services. Approve the contract for personal resource for the 2021-22 school year. The purpose of this agenda item is to ask the board to approve the contract for Ms. Dr. Romero, Rebecca Love, to serve as the personnel resource for the spring semester of 21-22 school year. Is there a discussion?
Yes. With the appointment of Dr. Rocco Greco as the new assistant, interim assistant superintendent of personnel, as you've noticed, we've made a very big shift in how we are reorganizing HR. The speed of the work that's happening right now requires some level of support because Dr. Greco has just jumped in 2 feet first. He's such a team player, he's just jumped in. But there's so much legalities, there's so many timelines that we have to meet. So Mr. Rubalcaba is a colleague of mine in my old district, and he is a regional award-winning AXA HR. He's doing the job right now, and we felt that if he works with Mr. Greco, then we could have a lot of alignments in place between now and the start of the new school year. It's just a short amount of time. He's already met with our principals, attended the workshop to do evaluations, to walk us through those steps and processes. Department directors, food services, transportation, they've all requested that he come back and train them as well. So as he's training our people, Dr. Greco is also getting trained. We're all getting trained, kind of catching up with the changes that have come down, both through the Ed Code and through the laws and that we're dealing with every day. So it's just a short contract to help us pass this time and help Dr. Greco get the support he needs as he's learning on the job.
Any discussion from the board?
Yes, sir. I need some elaboration on this, too. Are we going to fill this? Are we going to eventually fill personnel as a assistant superintendent's position?
So, yes, as discussed, that is the hope. We hope to come back sometime in the spring with the organizational chart and be able to fill those positions. Today you voted on 3 interim positions.
Correct.
Giving the people a chance to kind of see if this is what they enjoy doing and also give you a chance to evaluate these new
positions. Oh, yeah, I just didn't want to see it fall through the cracks. And probably more importantly, if we're going to be recruiting personnel, we should be doing it now because everybody's going to be looking for a gig in June.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you, Mr. Crawford. But yes,
all right.
Your answer is correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the contract for personnel resource for Dr. Romero Rubel. How do you pronounce that exactly? Rubalcaba.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Frank Crawford votes no. Next item, minimum wage increase for OE3. Meso Joint Unified School District compliance with the new California State minimum wage requirements. Any discussion?
So as Mr. Huerta alluded to earlier, we met with OE3 to look at the salary schedule. We did have two ranges, 7 and 8, on the salary schedule that were below the minimum wage in the first step of that column. Those two were moved, and the one position that existed was moved up to range 9, so 7 and 8 were eliminated in order to bring us in alignment with the minimum wage. We don't currently have any employees in those classifications, so no employees were affected at this time by it, but the pay scale has been adjusted to meet the minimum wage requirement for districts or organizations of over 26 employees moving into the new year.
Any discussion from the board?
Are we talking, would we be talking like a yard duty supervisor?
The only position that fell on this one was clerk one, and we don't currently have
it. My concern being, let's just take yard supervisor. It's first step's $15. Be here 10 years in the sixth step for 6 years, and it's $17.36. Who the hell's going to work for us for that? The days are beautiful. Excuse me for saying that. My apologies. But you go out to any of our elementary schools and go in a yard where the little ones are playing, there's nothing better. I'd rather be out there than in the classroom. I'd rather be in the cafeteria eating with them. And you, all you people worried about masks, those kids, they eat in the cafeteria side by side with the mask on. I shouldn't have said that here. I don't, well, take the mask off, Dee. End of my talk. Thanks.
Any other discussion from the board?
Here.
Not? Do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved. Is there a second?
Second.
From Gary Craig. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried. Minimum wage increase on representatives. Marysville Joint Unified School District. Compliance with the new California State minimum wage requirement.
So the same as with the OE3 for our unrepresented group, there were two classifications that fell underneath the $15 range. We redid the salary schedule to bring it up to the required $15 moving into the new year. And we
once
don't
again, currently... how sad. Yeah. We're not even bumped up yet, and we consider ourselves the premier employer of the area. I've got to be kidding. Come on.
Any other discussion?
Again, I'm sorry. I'm on my soapbox tonight.
Any other discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved. Do I hear a second? Second by Ms. Allison. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Educational services. Approval of the contract for data coordinator for the 2021-2022 school year. Purpose of the agenda item is to ask the board to approve the contract for Dr. Jason Murphy to serve in the capacity of educational data coordinator for the second semester of 2021-2022 school year. Discussion.
This is the position that's come to the board before. In filling this position, when we interviewed, we found a candidate that we felt was ideal for our community and district. This person wasn't able to enter into a full-time, 5-day-a-week contract. Looking at the needs we have in the development of the data system at this point, we felt that 3 days a week would be doable in building the system this year. So we, instead of going with a full employment where you have benefits and the full contract for this year, decided to go with a 3-day-a-week position to bring Dr. Murphy on because we believed he was the best fit and candidate for the district. So this is the contract through the end of the year. The $41,100 is the maximum amount if all hours were to be expended on the contract.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board?
Yes, I've voted on this twice now. Now it's the third time, and I'm voting no again. I mean, you keep bringing it back to the table till you get 4 votes, I see. That's not the way we should do business.
Any other discussion from the board?
Just to clarify, Mr. Crawford, the board voted this position in...
Oh, I realize. That was a no vote. That's the only clarification.
Oh, got it.
I seem to be the no vote a lot, though. So,
any other discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve the contract for data coordinator for the 2021-22 school year.
Do I hear a second? Second, Ms. Allison. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Frank Crawford votes no, but it passes. Approve the agreement with Wellness Together for Mental Health Services at elementary schools for the 2021-2022 second semester. The purpose of the agenda item is request the board approval for the agreement with 3 part-time Wellness Together therapists for 72 hours of mental health specialist services a week in the total amount of $110,160. For the remainder of the 2021-2022 school year, the district currently contracts with Wellness Together for similar services at other sites. Do we have discussion?
Wellness Together is already working in the district. As we look at needs in trying to hire staff to bring on, we continue to find deficiencies in the ability to hire staff in this area. Feedback from the psychologists and the groups at Marysville High School and the other schools that are already utilizing Wellness Together was that students and staff were asking for it to be increased. So with that, this is an increase to bring them on. We have several counselors who are out on leave at this time as well. So this allows us to help fill some of those gaps for schools that don't currently have a counselor.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board?
You betcha. How many employees are in wellness? Yeah, that's a tough question. Could you break down it? What are we getting for $110,000?
So,
pardon me?
So you get 3 part-time therapists that come on. So as stated here, it's 3 essentially half-time people. So 72 hours of mental health services a week are then available. Where this comes in is when you get kids or cases that kind of go beyond what our school staff is either qualified to handle or goes beyond that scope where it's going to be tied into exterior services as well.
Well, what I was trying to say is what I meant by the hour, are we paying them good? I'm going to vote yes for this one, Rocco. But you're going to be taking care of $110,000. Is that enough?
At this time, yes. We believe with Care Solace,
that's all. Okay.
The mental health contracts we are.
I won't take no more of your time.
I'm sorry.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Any other discussion?
Well, yeah. I'm still confused on the cost difference and looking back at page 263 for the reports.
263?
It looks like there's a difference.
Yes, so let me clarify. The initial thought was that we would have one person for 68,000, and then we had some resignations of people providing those services. So instead of bringing back 2 full-time, we're now bringing back 3 half-time so we can put them in multiple different campuses. So the contract will be redone. This is what Mr. Rasmussen called out at the very beginning and said we have to redo that contract.
So it's
that was
4 half-time people?
It'll be 3 half-time people for $110,000. The agenda item is correct. The contract has to be redone.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion from the board? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Allison. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Second item, 2021-22 agreement with Presence Learning for Speech Language Pathology, SLP services. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with Presence Learning for required SLP student services needed at various school sites for students who qualify for services under their individualized education plan, IEP, for the 2021-22 school year in the amount not to exceed $100,000 for 1 full-time SLP to replace resignation of the SLP serving Olivehurst Elementary and Arboga Elementary. Additional funding for services will be reserved to serve students over the district's contracted SLP caseload amounts. Discussion?
So for this one as well, as you hear in multiple realms, staffing becomes increasingly difficult, especially in certain areas. This special education field, speech-language pathology, is one of the most difficult to fill. So we did have a resignation in looking. We were unable to fill that. Through that, we're trying to meet it through this contract.
Thank you. Any discussion by the board?
You betcha. When I was still teaching, we assumed or we inherited all the county speech therapists. What happened to them?
I can't speak exactly to what happened to them.
Yeah.
I believe some still work here, but again, it's one of those things.
They make good bucks. That's all I was wondering. Why do we keep losing them?
If you look at the college system, and you heard in one of the presentations earlier about the number of people coming out of school in specific fields, the number of graduates coming out in speech and language pathology related to the number of cases we have where it's required, there's a deficiency.
Is it, through the chair, can we take a question from the audience? Oh, I didn't wear my glasses, and couldn't even tell if you were waving at me. I couldn't see your lips moving. I'm sorry.
Any other
motion
discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Frank Crawford opposes. Motion carries. Fourth item, approve the 2021-22 non-public agency service agreement with Stepping Stones Group. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve for the agreement with Stepping Stones Incorporated for 2 full-time equivalent virtual special education teachers for $90 per hour and the estimated amount of $150,480 annual as required for students at various school sites who qualify for the services under the individualized education plans. Marysville Joint Unified School District will be invoiced monthly. Any discussion?
So with this one here, looking at caseloads in the district and trying to work with MUTA in order to rectify some of the overages when it comes to caseloads, the ability to hire special education teachers this time of year, we're continuing to come up short in the hiring process. This contract allows us to bring in support for our special education teachers to hopefully help with some of the caseload management when it comes to IEP writing and some of the paperwork components virtually.
Any discussion for the board?
Yeah. Is this a stepping stone in Redding? This is a stepping stone in Redding, California?
I don't know, huh?
I was a counselor at Berry Creek Ranch in Berry Creek, and stepping stones, at least then, was a freaking nightmare. And I don't want those people here with my kids.
It shows that they're...
I might show they're credentialed and they're citizens, and I don't give a... hoot about that. This was a while ago. I was at Chico State, so I hope they stepped up their Stepping Stone Act.
Just to answer your question, Mr. Crawford, this is based out of Lafayette, Colorado. They are online certified.
That's why I asked if it was ready. Colorado, I apologize. Shut me up. Shut the mic off.
Any further discussion from the board? Is there a motion? Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug Criddle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Frank Crawford opposes.
Aye. No.
Mr. Crawford, could I just ask? No, you made a motion to approve the item, and then you voted no?
Retract that statement and my phone. I vote yes. Please let the record.
Can you turn your mic on now while you're talking?
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Someone
asked me to turn the mic off, and I got a little too close to it. I withdraw my no motion and vote yes.
Okay. So the item
the motion passes 6-0.
Passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Approve the agreement with Vector for Professional Development Tracking Solution for 12 months. The purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve the agreement with Vector for Professional Development Tracking Solution from February 1, 2022 to January 31, 2023. Is there a discussion?
Are we there? Okay. The feedback that we've received from teachers is the ability to do professional development on their own time, to do professional development not where everyone has to be gathered at a set location to hear one speaker, was beneficial. In that, there's a lot of management that goes into creating the sessions, being able to keep them, and then have them available to be able to use at a future date. Vector Services ties in with our Keenan modules, so the ability to take PD sessions, record them, and then have them available for teachers at any time they want to be able to do the professional development is what Vector allows us to do. So this is essentially a housing database that goes in with the other videos that we already have for Keenan to be able to make professional development organized and easy to manage.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board?
Yes. Ms. Duraco, Vector, can you explain a little more about that?
So if you have to do the Keenan modules at the beginning of the year, so the mandated report or any of those, we house those. So if it goes in, people can click on the videos. It goes through. It shows us that they're doing it. So right now, like when Ms. Hale was in our office, when we do professional development, Alicia Wright would put on all this, organize all of the work behind it, and then we would get timesheets and evidence to try and be able to verify.
I never liked that when I was a teacher. I always thought you were trying to snitch me out. You know, you had to walk in, sign it, the principal would be looking at. Are you teachers still happy with that professional development today, most of you? No? Thank you.
So what this allows us to do is to keep it all in one location so that they can access it at any point that they want. And then the accountability piece, when you're done, it shows that you've done the module and that it's done so that we're not having to track hundreds of paper forms after these.
And we'll have everybody sign in and sign out?
The system does that automatically for you.
Okay.
Any further discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Yeah, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Resnick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Item 6. First read board policy 3516.5 emergency schedules. The purpose of this agenda item is to provide the board the opportunity to complete the first read of the new Board Policy 3516.5, Emergency Schedules. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. This board policy will allow the district to apply for the apportionment credit due to emergencies such as flood or fire. It just allows the district to apply for those waivers.
Thank you.
Any discussion from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
It's an informational item. Excuse me, Mr. Davis.
Oh, it's a read item. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. It's an information item. Thank you.
Correct.
And I made a motion.
Sorry.
Well done. Thank you.
Number 7, first read board policy 6020, parent and family engagement. The purpose of the agenda item is to provide the board the opportunity to complete the first read of new board policy 6020, parent and family engagement policy.
Thank you. This policy, as a Title I district, we are required to have a parent and family engagement policy that meets the requirements of every Student Succeeds Act.
Any discussion from the board? Thank you. Item 8. First read board policy 6142.5 environmental education. Purpose of this agenda item is to provide the board with the opportunity to complete the first read of the new board policy 6142.5 environmental education.
This policy acknowledges and encourages our relationship with our community partners, such as the Yuba County Water Agency, UC Davis, for providing educational experiences for all of our students.
Is there any discussion from the board?
That's a great
question. We do have a public comment from Ms. Lasaga.
So just a minor correction before you start me on the clock, please. I believe instead of it Yuba County Water District, I believe you guys are referring to Yuba Water Agency. So that's a typographical or however you want to word it. So when we talk about the environmental education, this ties into the whole equity thing again, because it says, we say in the background on the agenda that our schools play a crucial role in educating students about the relationship between humans and the natural world. It should say we indoctrinate students. Anytime the adults want to bring politics of any sort into the schools and the learning, it should be considered indoctrination. I do not see a need to change the verbiage from the board policy. I do not agree, and I would ask that you not adopt the new policy, but continue to use the policy before the changes occurred. I specifically have a problem with the sixth paragraph. I believe this paragraph should be taken out completely. And I quote, the superintendent or designee shall ensure the environment-based learning experiences are made available on an equitable basis and that the environmental literacy curriculum reflects the linguistic, ethnic, and socioeconomic diversity of California. We are talking about the environment, and yet once again, Dr. Greco, you have to insert equity and socioeconomic verbiage into the policy for environmental. Why? Why does that have to be? And I believe the last paragraph is basically all you need in this whole policy. As it reads, as appropriate, the superintendent or designee shall provide professional development for teachers in the development and effective implementation of curriculum and activities inside and outside the classroom that promote environmental literacy. All of these new board policies are just to push the agendas. When you use the words climate change and you say that it needs to be taught in English language arts and mathematics, again, I ask why? Shouldn't they be learning critical thinking, how to speak proper English, and how to solve mathematical equations? I would ask that before you approve this policy that you reevaluate it to take out the controversial language. And I just don't understand, why does that even need to be? Why can't it just be, you know, explaining to these kids, we don't throw garbage in the river. We don't throw, you know, try it. Instead of using these disposable water bottles, why aren't you guys all using the water bottles that Jackie Silman, you know, put out there for all the students to use that you guys can refill? Why are we doing that? Why aren't we teaching the students to recycle? Where are the recycling containers on this campus? I raised over $30,000 for kids to go to camp to go to leadership training off of recyclables. Where is any of that? There's none of it on this campus. So when you want to talk about environmental stuff, you want to bring in the BS words of equity? That is so wrong. And if you guys want any help on writing this stuff, I would be glad to donate my time. I'm sick and tired of you guys bringing this crap into influence our kids when it should be taught about the three R's. My eighth grade speech, and I'm 52 years old, was on reduce, reuse, and recycle. Why can't that be implemented into the school system? Why does it have to be about equity and socioeconomic division? Why? Look at it before you guys even approve this.
Thank you. Number 9, second read board policy 1312.3, uniform complaint procedures. The purpose of the agenda item is to provide the board the opportunity to complete the second read of the new board policy 1312.3, uniform complaint procedures.
This policy is the second read of the UPC Uniform Complaint Procedure, which is in alignment with our federal program monitoring specifications.
This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to discuss this? Any members of the board? We need a motion to close the public hearing. Frank Crawford makes a motion. Do I hear a second?
Did I do something wrong?
Sorry?
I made the motion.
Yes, you made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Rasmussen. Okay, it's motion to approve and adopt.
Excuse me, Mr. Davis, we have to vote on closing the public hearing.
Don't we hear? Okay. I think we did. Oh, I'm sorry. Lost track. Do all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then we have the motion to approve and adopt Board Policy 1212.3. Any further discussion? It's 1312.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's a mistake over here. Can you read it?
Oh.
Please?
Okay. I think.
Yes. This number is incorrect. So can you just repeat this number for the record?
Oh, okay. Sorry, we have a little typo to deal with. It's Board Policy 1312.3. Special reports on pages 328 of 347. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve Board Policy 1312.3, Uniform Complaint Procedures.
Do I hear a second? Second by Ms. Allison. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Approval and adoption of the Education Effectiveness Grant for the 2021 through 2026 school year. The purpose of the agenda item is to ask the board to approve the Educator Effectiveness Grant Plan as presented at the November 9th board meeting. Is there any discussion from the staff?
So this is the Educator Effectiveness Grant that we had met with MUTA and discussed to bring forward. This is training funds available for administrators, paraeducators, teachers, and the grant plan is as provided in special documentation, unamended from the first presentation.
Will it be primarily Chico State kids?
No, the Educator Effectiveness funds come in order to offer training for staff that work here in the district.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of hiring new teachers. Sorry about that.
Any other discussion by the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, and Mr. Crawford, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Business services. Approval of the 2021-22 first interim financial report. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the 2021-22 first interim financial report for the period ending
Good evening, President Davis, fellow trustees, and Superintendent Osrani. I'm here tonight to present to you the Marysville Joint Unified First Interim Budget Report. First, before I get going, I want to give a big thank you to Cindy Helms. She's worked really hard on this. This is our first reporting of the year, and it covers the time period of July 1 through October 31st, and it projects our financial activity through the end of the year, June 30th, 2022. Our financial activity is projected based on the state budget guidelines by the County Office of Ed and other sources such as School Services of California and are also used to guide our budget. Included in the first interim packet are summarized and detailed budget information, multi-year projections, and estimated cash flow. That's that big packet that you got to read over the weekend. Tonight I'm going to... the agenda for tonight's presentation will be the first interim review, our budget cycle, unrestricted general fund, restricted general fund, the COVID relief fund, general fund summary, multi-year projections, and our next steps. You've seen this slide almost every time we present. It's a nice picture of our budget cycle. Right now we're here in December presenting the first interim financial report. Back in September, we closed the books of the 2021 school year, and we presented them to the board. Since September, our program carryover funds have been added to site and department budgets. Changes since approving the district's adopted budget have been identified and adjusted accordingly. Next month, we're all going to attend the Governor's Budget Workshop in Sacramento, and we have Capital Advisors Group coming to our district in February to talk to us about what to expect in the 22-23 fiscal year. We'll see you all back in March to report on the second interim budget report, and April and May we'll continue to work on our LCAP and budget preparations to start the 22-23 fiscal year. In May, we'll go back and listen to see what the governor revises for our budget, and then we'll bring that LCAP and budget to you in June for your approval. This first slide is the unrestricted general fund revenue first interim compared to adopted budget. This revenue reflects a 1.4 change in revenue in our LCFF sources. This change has occurred due to a net increase to our LCFF funding based on our concentration grant increase of 2.8. That is a formula adjustment that adjusted from 50% to 65%, and it must be used to increase our number of staff providing direct services to students, and we'll be bringing that plan, the LCAP addendum, to you in January for your approval. There was also an LCFF-based funding decrease of 1.4, and that removed the County of Office of Ed students, which is approximately a 206 enrollment. So it netted to a $1.4 million increase in LCFF funding. The changes from expenditures in our unrestricted general fund from adopted budget to first interim are here on this graph. It was a total expenditure increase of $5.1 million. The $5.1 million net increase to total expenditures were due to unrestricted site discretionary carryover, salary and benefit alignment, a 2% negotiated salary increase for the settled bargaining units, an increase to our special ed costs, and then we had an increase to routine restricted maintenance to meet our required 3% maintenance of effort, and the realignment of indirect costs from restricted programs. The 21-22 restricted general fund balance is, as you can notice, our revenues were high, and that was due to our COVID relief funds. This graph shows the $56 million, or almost $57 million, that we received, and then the budgeted out years of how we're spending it. This is restricted one-time money, and it cannot be used for ongoing salaries and benefits. The 21-22 general fund summary is listed here. It's depicted with our unrestricted, our restricted, and our total combined revenues minus expenditures, less our other estimated sources to give us a subtracted from our beginning balance, leaves us with an ending balance of $46.5 million in unrestricted, $35.8 million in restricted, with a total of $82.3 million total. The components of that fund balance are revolving cash and estimated ending inventory of $810,000, our restricted funding end balance of $35 million, almost $36 million, our committed for other post-employment benefits of $956,000, assignments of $27.4 million, our economic uncertainty reserve of $5.2 million with an unassigned, unappropriated amount of $12.1 million, leaving us with an $82.3 million fund balance. The components of, multi-year projections are not only a legal requirement, but they're a budget planning tool, and they reveal the fiscal health of our district. It allows us to estimate our spending for the current year and two subsequent years. As you can see, it's projected that deficit spending amount increases in the two out years, Those contributing factors to the deficit spending are the upcoming certificates of participation payments, the cost of step and column, and employer benefit increases. The planning factors used to project our current year and the two subsequent years are COLA projected by the Department of Finance, the 2% cost of step and column, and rates set by CalSTRS and PERS. Our next steps, we're going to continue to work on all CAP and budget meetings for our 22-23 school year. As I said earlier, twice, we're going to attend the governor's budget proposal in January. Capital advisors are coming in February, and then we'll be back in March to present the second interim financial report. Thank you.
So, Jennifer, looking at that deficit spending, do we have any idea when that will not be deficit?
Well, we'll probably always have some deficit spending. That's pretty normal for school districts, especially when we have carryover from the prior year. We carry it over, and then we reduce our fund balance to budget it back above into our expenditures.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board?
All right.
If there's no questions.
Actually, I do, Mr. Davis. Sorry, I was trying to get it organized here. But, you know, looking at your multi-year projection, Jennifer, that, you know, looks like this year we have quite a large fund balance. But looking at our 23-24 school year, it's down to about $28.9 million we have there. So it seems as though, you know, it looks like we've got a lot of money now, but we're have a lot of that money that's going to go away for, you know, one-time funding funds. And so we're definitely not going to be looking as healthy as we are right now in the next couple of years.
Correct. Not if we continue with the deficit spending. We'll have to form a budget committee, which I think we already have formed, and start looking at where we can cut some costs to our budget. And then also it'll be interesting to see what happens in the 22-23 year. We're hearing a higher COLA and a lot of one-time money coming in. And so we're going to need to be strategic with what we do with those funds.
And again, you mentioned one-time funding. I think it would be very prudent to the district to make sure we don't have to start having ongoing costs thinking that we're going to have those one-time funds.
Correct. We don't want to use the one-time money for salary and benefits. Those are ongoing, and we want to be able to sustain those positions.
I would just like to thank you and Cindy for putting this together. It's quite a feat that you have to do multiple times a year, so thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Doug Credle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Number two, PBK Architects presentation, project updates. The purpose of the agenda item is to update the board on the current progress of our BOGA PK through 8 expansion and the facilities master plan projects. This is an informational item.
Thank you. Good evening, board members, superintendent, staff, and guests. We're here to give you an update on a couple of projects that we're working on. The first one is the Arboga Elementary School K-8 conversion project. There's a couple of renderings that we've put together for what the project is going to look like. But to show you where we are, if you've not been out there, we've got some construction photos. So first off, talk about schedule. So this is a schedule from the contractor whose core construction on a leaseback project. It is slated for completion in July of 2022 and is currently on schedule. So here's some shots that we've taken with the contractor. So overview of basically the new parking and drop-off area. The new multi-purpose building is on the left that's got most of the superstructure framed and the roof structure going on. And then in the middle, the first building, one of the classroom wings is framed and the second one is behind it. And then off to the right, all the dirt area is the grading for the track. Okay. So here's another overhead view. You can see the two classroom buildings to the left, the drop-off, the parking, the bus drop-off to the right. So all the parking has been completed and improved. So we've got a lot of parking on site now along with both of the drop-offs. Another shot of framing of the classrooms. Framing at the multipurpose at the raised platform area. And pouring the concrete at the raised platform, which is like a stage. And then this is the area in between the two classrooms, and they're actually now getting pretty close to completing all. They should be done with all the framing on the walls of the two classrooms and getting ready to start with the roof here in the next week. Okay, so that is an update on where we are with the Arboga School construction project.
Any more questions for this?
Yeah, no, they're moving along very rapidly, and we got one of the things with their schedule was to do the parking lot and the drop-off in the summer so that it was complete when we got into this weather. Not recently.
Thank you.
I would like to say the other day that the parking, I think, has been a tremendous benefit there, Mr. Gary. I went over midday, and that was after we had all the parking open and was still able to count 30 empty parking spots, which had always been a premium at Arboga before. And so I think the parking is going to work out really well, and very excited once we get the parent drop-off loop completely opened up, because I think, again, that's going to help get many more cars off the street, because that's still one of our kind of our issues on pickup is a lot of folks waiting in the street. But I think it's going to be much better as soon as we can get those done.
Yeah, so it's really coming along. Yeah, you got an excellent staff there. Okay. Yeah, and we're going to do the master plan update. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So the other project we're currently in process on is the facility master plan. So we're going to talk a little bit about the process, where we are, what we've accomplished with assessments, what's coming up with stakeholder meetings, and then any questions there might be. So this is the process, and I had laid this out, I think the last time I met with the board several months ago when we were getting this started, I think in the summer. The five steps, the data collection, which is essentially done, facility assessment, visioning, master plan, to the implementation plan. This is our work plan to show basically where we are. There we are in December. We've completed all our data collection. We have actually completed site assessments. We're in process of developing the facility condition reports. All of that is being also put together in the final deliverable document that we're developing. And then you can see, we'll talk in a minute about what the future steps in this process are. So as I said, we've completed data collection. Some of the things we've gathered, site maps, stakeholder surveys, we sent out to principals. You can see one of our checklists on information that we have been gathering. And then the facility assessment. So we actually had three groups that went out to each site. One was our architectural side, looking at basically layout, architecture, finishes, site flow, all those types of things. Then we had BEAM, that's our building envelope group, go out to look at roofing, essentially, and envelope issues. And then LEAF, who is our mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers, went out to assess those items. So you can see we've now successfully checked off all of the sites for all three of our groups. That is done. These are some of the photos from our walks. Gathered some interesting ones, as you can see, whether it's some dry rot on wood siding on portables, holes in the walls, some issues with stucco, pictures of ramps, another big thing we looked at, ADA compliance, so ramps, walks, door clearances, restrooms in particular we looked at. So when our groups were out doing the physical site walks, they had some sheets that looked like this, actually it was on their iPads, and they would fill the information out as they went through each of the sites, rating them 1, 2, 3, and 4. You would like to have 3s and 4s, which are the better ratings. 1 is the poorest of all the ratings. So on this one, you can see kind of a smattering of some 4s, some 2s and 3s. So all that information gets gathered up and will end up looking basically like this in our final summary. This happens to be Foothill Intermediate School, and you can see we've gone through each of the different rooms and spaces. It shows the year they were built, and you can see how old the school site is, 46 years old. And then there's a series of categories that we have specifically rated them 1 to 4. There are some concerns. So fire alarm, 1s. Fire life safety, which is FLS, a lot of 1s. ADA has a lot of 1s. So these are the things that are most concerning that we now can identify as issues that we need to address as soon as possible at the site. All of those get added up. They have averages at the end and then an average down at the bottom of looks like 2.4, which is below average. There's a lot of attached summaries that go into more of a specific breakdown of each building and each space in the building, again, that we've rated. We've taken notes on the things that we have found. And this is being done and gathered for every single site we've walked. Again, this is looking at mechanical, HVAC equipment, plumbing fixtures, the water heater, which is rated as a 1. In our initial review of the information we're putting together, this is kind of just a snapshot of what we're finding is, you know, the best of the rated schools and the worst of the rated schools. So we've got Edgewater, South Lyndhurst, Loma Rica, and Dobbins among the better assessed schools. The worst, Foothill, Covelad, Kynoch, and McKinney. And then there's the most challenging, which is next door, the auditorium, which we are looking at for a number of issues. It's a beautiful building on the exterior, and the interior is as well. Trying to see what it might take to bring that thing back to life. So it's definitely, you can see we've taken pictures all over, and there are definitely some challenges that need to be looked at, mainly from a structural perspective on this. We have sent out and received back principal surveys, 20 of them. This is what the survey looked like. This is just sort of a snapshot of the questionnaire ratings based on the number of responses. So you've got one is a not favorable to a five, which is very favorable. So you would like to see more of the green and purple from the principals, which, you know, there in some cases there are. So what did the principals think in kind of reviewing their surveys? The focus areas that generally scored in the lowest were parking, curb appeal, landscape, irrigation, and drainage. The areas on the survey that scored generally in the highest were technology, electrical, paved areas, and safety and security. The school sites, according to principals, that generally scored the lowest in multiple areas was Covelot again, Abraham Lincoln, Olivehurst, and Yuba Gardens. So the next item we're really going to start moving into, especially as we get past the holidays, is stakeholder engagement. The first thing is the community service that the district is getting ready to roll out. And then we'll be needing to sit down and determine, you know, who we're going to be meeting with in particular in these meetings, what the groups are, where we're going to do the meetings at, and that will be coming in the new year so we can get even more community input. So where we are going, basically. So you see December, as we go into the new year, we're going to be looking at developing educational specifications. We will be working on the actual master planning process, which is figuring out what needs to be done at each site and putting costs to the development of all those items. As part of that, we'll be doing the community engagement meetings to help inform us of the master plan. And then we will develop the implementation plan, which is really diving into all the costs and the priorities of the projects. And through all this, we'll be developing the deliverable document. And that is where we're at. So without any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions from the board?
On our BOGA, it is. Yeah. This was shooting to be done the end of March. A lot of it depends on, you know, how quickly we can get the community meetings set up and how easy it is to gather the groups. In the process of developing schematic designs, so we'll be coming back with that soon. Well, there's always a possibility. It just depends on money. In talking with structural engineers, it's a pretty steep price tag right now that we're looking at. We're going to have a couple discussions even with DSA because there's a lot of challenges with that building, especially because it's attached to the rest of the facility. So whatever gets done there ties back into this. So there's thoughts of, you know, is there a way to separate
so we don't have to deal with all of this building when you deal with that. So we are kind of outlining and looking at some of the options.
My only option would never be destruction.
Yeah, I would never like to see that building torn down. It's just, yeah.
I would just like to make the comment, Mr. Gary, that this is a very valuable document, I think, for our district. It is such an old district, and so many of our sites have such a need, and I think this is a good time to be able to use some of those one-time funds that are earmarked for facilities so we can try to improve our sites, to try to help improve the education of our students and the well-being of our staff that are at those sites. So I think this is a very important document that's going to hopefully drive our maintenance and our facilities and our money in the next few years. So thank you for getting this done as soon as you can.
Sure. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. This is an informational item.
So, President Davis, Russell, it seemed like our machines kind of went off here. At least mine did. I don't know if you could hit a button. I can't hear out of that.
Item number 3, approve the agreement with Diligent Corporation. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with Diligent Corporation for Board Docs Pro in the amount not to exceed $12,000 annually. Any discussion from staff?
Right. This is a request that we are putting in. We are trying to make sure all our board documents, our agendas, our minutes are all digitalized and saved. At this point, we have a lot of hard copies and paper. It just makes the manpower, related to maintaining that. So our students have moved into the digital world. Why not we as adults move into that as well? So that's where we're going.
Any discussion from the board members? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Rasmussen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4, approval the agreement with Van Pelt Construction for the Program and Construction Management Services. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with Van Pelt Construction Services for Program and Construction Management Services in the amount not to exceed $40,000 for the 2021-22 school year commencing December 15, 2021 through June 30, 2022. To support Iboga TK through 8 expansion, Kovalad, and the upcoming Foothills projects. Do we have any discussion from staff?
Working? Okay. Yes, thank you. So this is for Van Pelt Construction Management Firm to come in and assist and represent the district with all of our construction management projects we have, our construction projects we have, and guide us through the process and help us with their expertise.
Any questions from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion
approved. Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug Kreddle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, approve the notice of intent with AZ Bus Sales Incorporated to purchase buses. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the notice of intent with AZ Bus Sales Incorporated to purchase 2 24-passenger special needs buses, special school buses, in amount not to exceed $188,804.22. Is there staff discussion.
Yeah, right here. Sorry.
Hi. I'm looking all over the place. Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, this is just simple standard equipment replacement. It's something that we budget for every year that we've been doing since I've been here.
It seems those costs don't go down.
I'm sorry, what?
It seems those costs do not go down.
No, in fact, this is close to $9,000 extra per bus from what it was a year ago.
Any other questions from board members? If not, do I hear a motion? Frank Crawford makes the motion. Second? Second by Ms. Allison. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Item 6, approval of the 2020-21 annual and 5-year developer fee report. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the 2020-21 annual and 5-year development fee report. Steph?
Thank you. This is required by the government code 66006, and we bring it to the board every year, and it's our report of our developer fees received and how they were spent from the 2020-21 school year.
Any questions from the board? Do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, approval of the agreement with King Consultant for Developer Fee Justification Study. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve an agreement with King Consulting to provide a developer fee justification study in the amount of $6,605 during the 2021-22 school year.
Thank you. Yes, this is also required by government code, and it's a justification study for the developer fees that we charge, the statutory fees, and it's required to have it reported out. Thank you.
Any questions from the board? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Motion approved by Frank Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Doug Quittle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8. Approve the agreement with Chef Ann Foundation and Foundation for California Community Colleges. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with Chef Ann Foundation and the Foundation for California Community College. Do we have staff? Oh,
hi. Hi, good evening.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong place. Thank you.
Thank you. MJUSD has been selected to be a partner with the Chef Ann Foundation and the Foundation for California Community Colleges for the Healthy School Food Pathway Program. The purpose of this partnership is to initiate an education bridge for college students in culinary, nutrition, and food service management programs to learn about school food operations as a potential career path. This program has a high priority of emphasizing scratch cooking in schools, and MJUSD was selected based on our current food production and menu design, as well as our continued progression to enhance scratch cooking even further. The partnership will provide work experience for community college students to apply concepts learned in this program. The pre-apprenticeship will select 2 to 3 Yuba College students to work in MJUSD schools for 8 hours a week. There's a handout included in your packet that explains this in much more detail as well as future phases.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the board?
Yes, I have a question. This is wonderful, by the way. However, my question is that we are aligned and integrated with Yuba College.
Will this be able to help us move forward our adult ed program that we could possibly integrate those students as well? Is there something in the works for that?
There is a track for, I don't know the term, displaced workers. So it's talked about displaced workers as another avenue of recruiting individuals for this pre-apprenticeship. Whether that's through the partnership of our adult ed program, we'd have to develop that with the Foundation for Community Colleges. I think there's room for that, absolutely.
Great, thank you.
Awesome. What did you have? What did you have? Do you remember what was on the menu? Nice. Thank you.
Is there any other questions on the board? If not, I entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Mr. Crawford. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Doug Quiddle. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Last item, special presentation. Motion for reconsideration equity policy. At the regular board meeting of November 9th, 2021, by a vote of 3 in favor and 4 opposed, the board rejected the recommended equity policy provided as part of the policy update package presented by the California School Boards Association. Under this item, the board will discuss and consider whether to reconsider that vote.
I'd just like to do a quick introduction. Thank you, President Davis. I'd like to say that this was brought back under the recommendation with Trustee Hasty, wanted some more conversation. And after the last board meeting, I was able to meet with many of our teachers or administrators and kind of listen to their response to this decision. And I think it was quite evident to all of us that this is time to come back and talk about this a little bit more in detail. Who better than our teachers who teach in the trenches every day, who truly meet the needs of all our children and do whatever they can to make sure our students are served. So with further ado, I'd like to introduce the team in front of you, and they will do a short presentation for us.
So,
what we have in front of us is a motion to reconsider. And if the board passes that motion, then we can proceed. If we do not vote to bring that motion back, there will be no further discussion. So, any other comments from the board?
So I would like to say, Mr. Davis, I
if there's no other questions or discussion by the board, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford.
So I would think it needs to come at the next item.
After that.
After that.
Yes.
Okay.
Frank Crawford has made a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. 5-1. Now we can have the presentation.
I'm happy to do it. I just want to make sure that we're following all the rules that
it
has.
That's
Allison.
Right. All right. I am the one who brought it back.
We need to be unified in our district with our why, whatever we are working toward. As an educator for over three decades in the school district, I have demonstrated a deep commitment to equity in the classroom, even if I didn't call it equity. I have been a fierce advocate for music in schools where most students' families could not afford their own instruments or private lessons. Many times throughout my tenure, I have gone above and beyond to make sure students from all backgrounds have had access to music education, including instruments and transportation to and from performances. As a trustee, I continue to be committed to equity. If we have racial disparities because of cultural or socioeconomic differences, we need to know about them so that we can make policy decisions that help the students who need it the most. For that reason, it makes sense to disaggregate our data based on racial and socioeconomic differences. This does not mean, however, that we will limit any student's access to a program based on traits that they cannot control. We must continue to find ways for all of our students to succeed, whether that is through a balanced STEAM education, vocational training, advanced placement coursework, or other avenues that will emerge. I voted against BPO 415 because I have had concerns about some of the policy language, and I want our board to have plenty of time to deliberate on policies that will affect resource allocation downstream. That having been said, I appreciate that in our schools, as on a board of trustees, diversity ultimately will make us stronger. We each, as trustees, bring different perspectives and backgrounds to the work of governing, but we are all oriented toward the goal of a high-quality education for all students in our district. In the same way, we need different perspectives and ideas, or even old ideas shared in a new way, to address the challenges our community faces. Because of this, I am committed to voting in support of an equity policy that will help us better serve all of our students. And Dr. Asrani, since I don't feel we're ready yet for this particular board policy, may I request that you work on a board policy further and bring us one that we can all be unified on supporting.
Yes, thank you.
May I say something? Thank you, Allison. That was very nice. And thank you guys for coming here and talking, but I do need to say something because there's something you guys do need to hear. Dr. Fowle and I and Rocco Greco spent a good amount of time talking to attorneys, people from Southern California who in some ways politically are different than they are up here, but we're not talking about politics. We're talking about specifically equity right now and resolutions. On the equity policy, California State Board, CSBA, I know because I'm the Yuba County delegate, so I am fairly qualified and knowledge to talk about this. It is a template that's adopted by CSBA. There are now about 90% of our districts that are going to follow suit with this, but it is a template to work from. Does that mean that they adopt it word for word? No. I, too, like Allison, didn't understand the verbiage in it because it didn't make sense, and I'm in education, and I didn't understand it. So with that, I got to look at it, too. There's some verbiage in there that doesn't make sense to me, neither. So I'm not going to sit back and just pass something. So with that, it gave me more of an idea to look through that lens of what does it say, what can it say, and then we bring it back to the board as a group and talk about it. And talk about it with good dialogue, not by shooting from the hip. So thank you for doing that. I think that's what we do need to do, and we do need to have some type of discussion on that to bring it further. And it warrants looking at what we are doing right now. But that is a template, so that you all know that. It's not written in stone. Well,
I'm one table leg of a seven-leg table. My opinion is my opinion, and I can't speak for anybody in the board here, but maybe Dr. Falcon addressed that.
I think it's firstly, it's very important that if we're going to meet on this policy and talk about it, that you're willing to come to the table with an open mind. You're sitting there and you're making comments. We can't hear you. Or we know we want to hear you, but we can't hear you. So if you're going to talk to us, I will open the door to the conversation, and I can promise that that's what we will do because that's what the board is directing me to do. And so we will ask some of you to join us, not all of you, similarly with our teachers, but today I think our teachers and our administrators are here to kind of present the true essence of what the district really does to serve every child that walks in our schools. We walk in, we need to pave the path for them so that they're successful. And what we're hearing is a complete different version of what equity is actually about. So I would urge that we respectfully listen to the presentation, kind of like you said, Allison, with an open mind, because it's a different perspective to what is being discussed here today. Is that okay? Because we have people who really spend a lot of time working on this, and I thank you for your time in doing this presentation. So take your time, explain to us, let us understand the policy.
Please present your...
I think that was a direction that we heard from the two board members to me, was to create a policy group and come back.
Well, Dr. Zarani, my apologies, but that would have to come as a motion.
Motion.
And we would have to decide as a board if we want to table this for later.
That's true.
But again, I do think it would be good to hear the presentation, and then we can move on with the meeting.
My apologies. Right.
Please continue.
Good evening, Board. This evening, you have five professional educators before you that combined we have over 122 years of experience as professional educators, teaching with a focus on equity. So we have a presentation for you tonight that we hope will help the situation. Our presentation this evening is divided into three sections. One section of that is the MJUSD Championing Equitable Opportunities. The second section is Understanding the MJUSD Community of Learners. And the last will be highlights of the board policy and accompanying Administrative Regulation 0451. In order to start our presentation, I thought it might be helpful if we provided a bit more of a definition or maybe even a more focused definition. I had mentioned earlier the concept of actual educational equity, which I think might actually be helpful. Educational equity means that every child receives whatever he, she, they need to develop to his, her, or their full academic and social potential and to thrive academically and socially, emotionally every day. And the second quote goes into that a bit further. Every child gets what they need in our schools, regardless of where they come from, what they look like, who their parents are, what their temperament is, or what they show up knowing or not knowing. Every child gets what he, she, or they need every day in order to have all the skills and tools to pursue whatever they want to our schools to live a fulfilling life. Equity is about outcomes and experiences. It is every child, every day. And both of those quotes come from Elena Aguilar, who has decades of experience also as a professional educator, a teacher leader, an instructional coach, and also a leadership coach. And continuing on, I believe, is going to be Alicia.
I have the honor of presenting the ways that MJUSD is already championing equitable opportunities. You're going to see that we've been doing this in our programs and services, in our staffing and facilities, and in our fiscal alignment and allocation. You'll see it in your board goals, the LCAP goals, and the school plans. It's nothing new, it's just the way that we think about it and maybe have addressed it. In your own MJUSD board values statements, you're going to see your fiscal accountability. I'm not going to read every part, but highlight some of the areas that stood out. Investing our time and resources in activities that bring measurable results and value to our students and the communities we serve. You've identified diversity and recognized that we build strength through diversity. We value the collective backgrounds of our students and strive to create a receptive environment where students can thrive, contribute, and prosper. And that's all students. We treat our families, students, staff members with respect. And we provide an environment that fosters social responsibility and character development. And through all of this, as a board, you've dedicated your values on having a shared commitment and that we work together as partners. The state identifies 8 priorities that you'll see listed here, and I've gone through and reviewed them, and the one common thread that I see through all of these 8 priorities is equity. The California Department of Education states that ensuring equity in education is a necessary component in narrowing the achievement gap. Teachers and school leaders ensure equity by recognizing, respecting, and attending to the diverse strengths and challenges of the students they serve. High-quality schools are able to differentiate instruction, services, and resource distribution to respond effectively to the diverse needs of students, with the aim of ensuring that all students are able to learn and thrive. That is what equity is. In my 20 years of an educator dedicated to equity, it has come from that understanding. These priorities are what guide our LCAP. And throughout the LCAP, it's focused on equity. The money, the percentages that things go, Title I, Title II, Title III, Title IV, it's all linked to equity in the purpose of helping all students get where they need to be. At the bottom of each of these funding areas, you'll see where those monies go. Things like transportation. Not every kid needs transportation. Professional learning communities. Our Wednesdays as teachers are dedicated to looking at data and figuring out where maybe our shortcomings are and how we can help students, all students. And Terrence, I am a parent in this district as well. My students get support, and there are supports that they don't need that other kids do. That's what equity is. Our music programs, our MTSS, things that we're building to make our district more powerful and better. These goals are written in the LCAP. This is what equity is. We do this for all of our students. Each dot here represents every student in our district.
As of the end of November, this is our enrollment. 9,982 current students. Each dot on this page represents a student in our district. Yet, unlike these dots, each student is unique and has their own different background and need. Equity supports each student with low, middle, and high academically. Our community of learners also comes with diverse assets and lenses through which they see the world. When we leverage and appreciate the diverse values and practices of our current and our ever-changing population, we serve all groups better. Our student achievement data comes disaggregated by students, by race and ethnicity, by the Department of Education. As gatekeepers of access to achievement, we are constantly rethinking our strategies and finding ways to provide equitable solutions. Our students come to us with unique challenges and unique strengths, and this data supports us in serving everyone best. Our diverse student body benefits from seeing themselves reflected in the curriculum, because who we see thriving in the world teaches us how to see ourselves, how to think about our value, and how to dream about our futures. Of the students we serve are emerging bilinguals, meaning that they are becoming proficient in English while mastering academic content in English. 1.2% are foster youth, and 80% or more of the students we serve are socioeconomically disadvantaged. These challenges intersect all ethnic groups, and equity will help MJUSD break the cycle of poverty that is so pervasive in our community.
In this section, we're going to look at the highlights, the board policy, and AR of... What did I do? We're going to look at the highlights of the board policy and AR of 0415. No, it's not moving. As it was stated earlier, that the board policy is recommended by CSBA. The language covers the diverse political and educational legal criteria. However, the district does not need to adopt it as recommended. We are able to make changes and adjustments. However, I do want to go over the specific points of the board policy. The first one was that we are routinely assessing our students based on need, disaggregated by race, ethnicity, socioeconomic, cultural backgrounds, and so on. This is the foundation of our annual LCAP. This is how we write our plans, the template that the state provides. But in addition, this is also how we receive all of our state data and all of our accountability systems. The next one is analyzing expenditures and allocating financial and human resources. Again, this is the foundation for our staff allocations at our school sites through our categorical dollars. This is how decisions are made regarding our staffing. Enabling and encouraging students to enroll and participating in complete curricular and extracurricular activities. We want all of our students to have as many resources as possible and to achieve the high rates of our students, and just achieve high rates and go to college or a career or CTE programs. We want the best for all students. Building positive school culture is the foundation of our PPIS and MTSS, our multi-tier system of supports, which helps provide those interventions for our students, which are based on what the students need. PBIS to help provide those safe schools. Adopting curriculum and educational materials that accurately reflect the diversity among our student groups. That's actually Educational Code 51204.5. Providing and collaborating with local agencies and community groups to ensure that our availability of necessary students. I think we've seen that tonight with all of the services that we've provided and all of the contracts we have ventured into. Promoting the employment and retention of diverse staff, that's just good practices. Providing staff development for ongoing research-based professional learning. Again, this is in our LCAPs, and we certainly want our educators of our students to use the research-based practices like the science of reading to make sure that our students are successful and prepared for what's coming up. Conducting program evaluations, again, our LCAPs, our site CIPSAs, we, in order to put money where it goes into the programs that we're providing, we need to be able to see that those programs are actually working. And so this policy is basically saying that we will monitor our programs, our financial expectations, that we're going to follow state guidelines, we're going to use the LCAP, provide the resources where we need to provide the resources. And again, we're not taking away resources from other students. We're providing additional services. The administrative regs are used to help support the board policy. It gives us how we are going to implement the board policies. So through the administrative regs, we're going to talk about how we're addressing our disadvantages. And the way we're addressing our disadvantages is by being inclusive and welcoming to all of our staff, students, and their families. We're going to address the differences within our students and our staff and families. And we're going to mitigate those opportunity gaps, those academic achievement gaps. And we're going to facilitate academic and physical, creative, social, emotional growth for all students. Through implementation of the AR for the board policy, we're going to foster and maintain district-wide culture of inclusion for all students. We're going to provide academic opportunities for all students, and we're going to make sure that we're hiring high-quality staff to support all of our students. We conduct reviews of our policies and procedures to make sure that we are looking through everything through a lens of equality. We're going to invest and support all of our the physical well-being of our staff, and we're going to have a strategic plan to make sure that we include equity in everything that we do, and we're going to prioritize our financial and human resources in a manner that is equitable for all students and staff.
Hi. This is my 25th year with the district. I've known some of you for many years. Mrs. Hasty, I appreciate you bringing that up about music and the equity that you supported as a music teacher at McKinney, because I want to talk about ways that I've seen in this time our district already giving examples of equity. Our LCAP, as Amy just talked about, the CIPSAs that's built into all of our site plans, making arrangements to help out our active duty military families, our special education programs, Title IX, preschool, homeless support, Title III English learners, the Title I for our low socioeconomic students, our American Indian Education Program, school choice and district choice. These are ways that we are already at a district level promoting equity for all students. School-wide examples, our course offering and choices, CTE, art, music, AP and honors courses. Those are ways of equity. We get kids what they need, the courses they are interested in, things that meet their needs, and we make sure that they have what they need to be able to participate in all of those, including helping getting equipment for music, helping getting equipment for athletics. Our PBS and MTSS has already been talked about. The push-in model for special education. We're working every day to have our students in special education more and more in with the general ed kids getting what they need. We have community partnerships. We've been fortunate enough, Ellison Chiropractic does reduced cost physicals for our students who might not otherwise be able to participate in athletics. Our GATE programs, our academic decathlon programs that are open to students, whatever their background, and they are given the ones that need extra help to get a ride somewhere or to be able to, like I said, get equipment, are given that. So we are already supporting equity in our district. He said, we just want to make sure that we understand this is what we are doing. Thank you very much. And if there are any questions, we'd be happy to take them.
Does the board have any questions for the panel?
I would just like to thank you for your time spent tonight and coming to give the explanation behind the educational side of it. And you know, the thing about equality and equity, and just us sitting in this room right now,
we all have the opportunity to sit here and hear each other and hear y'all talk. But because of my bad hearing and the echo in this room, it's very difficult for me to hear or understand what folks are actually saying on the microphone. So to help provide equity, the district has given us a device. Tonight, it's kind of went on and off a little bit, but not for me to not only be able to hear, but to truly understand what y'all are saying. And I think that's the same thing that we're saying within our district with staff and students. No matter who you are, we're going to try to give you what you need to be able to understand and be able to meet the goals that you want to meet. So it seems to me that we get way too tied up in the weeds to say we're going to do what we need to do for all kids to make you successful. But thank you very much for your presentation.
We have a few more comments that, if the people are still here, is Dennis Kinney still here?
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask, what is it that you haven't been doing any of these things all this time, and you want to start with it, or what?
Blake, you need to address the board. And
it's not it.
This is not a back and forth.
Everything that you want to do now, you haven't been doing in the years.
It's not the parliamentary procedure.
It's public comment.
I'll make comment
right for 3 minutes.
I'm sorry. That's correct. Sorry, sir.
So, can you answer that? What is it that you want to do now that you haven't been doing, and why haven't you been doing it if you want to do it now? I don't understand. And everybody's equal, has the same opportunity. You can't make that kid that don't want to learn more. I don't understand. What are you looking for here to make equal?
So this is not a time for us to have a conversation. It's a time for you to have your 3 minutes to speak.
Oh, I'm on the 3 minute thing again.
Yeah, it's a public comment. You fill out the card.
I thought it was an agenda item, okay. Okay, well, I mean, I had questions. I have questions that need to be answered, right? But I won't get them answered.
I would
mean, just like, last week at the end of the meeting, he said, the people in the foothills, they'll put out the signal, but if you don't get it, you don't get it. I don't understand that. Why is that? When can they answer it? Well, how ridiculous then, right?
Thank you. There's a Yslinda.
Gavel and Don. Gavel.
We have a public comment.
Hello.
Thank you.
Excuse me, you are out of line, sir. You're out of line.
So are you guys.
Come on.
Please proceed.
Hi, my name is Yasena Kachu. I'm an outreach consultant for the district, specifically Johnson Park. I've worked at previous schools, but today I want to represent my students, the past students. Actually, some are here, present, and in the future. I've been a previous student for this district as well, and just a little bit of background, me and my siblings, as well as other people I've spoken to, have been denied access to higher classes for college. Fortunately, we've had some, you know, teachers who have represented us and supported us, Dr. Greco, Ms. Greco, Lynn Jacobs, Tuscabini, just to name a few. There's some teachers here as well that were my teachers when I was at Lyndhurst, and I have learned through them advocacy to support students and what they need. I am now an outreach consultant, and I am so glad I am in this position because I am now helping them with their their homeless situation, foster students, EL students. I hold FST meetings for them, and I advocate for them. So my request is that you guys all could really take a look at the 7,000-plus students that are at socioeconomically disadvantaged. And like Ms. Arroyo was stating, that there's a lot of overlap. So some of those could also land in the other parts. And please reconsider the support that you'll be, the power you guys have to inspire not just people here at the district, but in this community, and hopefully maybe statewide. Okay, you guys have that, and I respect you all. I actually work with some of you. That's all I wanted to kind of say, to give you a little bit of background of how it impacts students and how it could support future students as well.
Thank you.
Bravo!
Mr. Sauber? Yes.
So equity, in my mind, is fairness, correct? So giving the union 16 minutes and 45 seconds time to speak, and you guys can interact with them, and you guys talk to them prior to us coming here to have them put together a presentation, nobody ever reached out to the parents, that's inequitable, correct? So why not give us, that have a different view on this, the 16 minutes to talk about it as well? And I'm not saying, I commend the young lady who was just up here, who did not come from the same background and was able to excel and to do that. That's phenomenal, and I expect that for every student that we have. But what I'm saying is, why is her ethnicity even considered? It shouldn't matter. It should matter her drive. Her drive to go forward and to get the help and seek the help and the people to reach out to her to know that she needed that help. That's what we need. So in this board policy, when you look at it, take out the race. I believe we all agree to a certain degree. For the most part, I think we all agree. But when you put in that thing where it says what the different, and you list out the different races, that's the problem that we all have. I would ask that you guys not pass this tonight. Sit down. Let's have this conversation. Because I truly believe that we can come to an agreement. But if we take out the listing of the actual ethnicities, I think that's where it's wrong. Every kid should be able to have those opportunities and to excel. And one of the things, and I don't know which one, the union people or the teachers that have spoken about this, when they talk about that we give each student the same opportunities, in the 0415, it talks about disparities in educational outcomes. We cannot mandate, recommend, require, whatever verbiage you want to put it, you cannot make each student have the same outcome because not everyone has the same drive. My son and my daughter will not have the same outcome because my son doesn't want to work as hard as my daughter. There's nothing I'm going to be able to do. I can't beat him. I can't love him. I can't do anything to him to make his drive any stronger. And they are the same ethnicity. So I think I'm begging you to please sit down with us. We can be reasonable and talk about this, but I think that the most important part is to take out the listing of the ethnicities, because that's where it's drawing the problem. The focus on, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, when you have that child that's coming from a depressed socioeconomic level, absolutely that kid may need more help. But I'll tell you right now, and I'm going to go over my 3 minutes, but my 15-year-old, when I went home from here the other day, I asked him if the teachers talked about equity in the class, and he said, all the time. And I go, what does that mean to you? And he goes, if there was a, and I'm not going to name an ethnicity, but name any of them.
You're over your time.
No, you're going to listen. If there's any ethnicity.
Turn off our microphone. It's a 3 minute period.
Thank you.
We've had a discussion. What would the board like to do?
Bring it back. Yes.
I'm not tabling it.
Okay.
Motion.
So I would move that we table the motion.
I have a motion on the floor to approve.
No, you don't.
I didn't hear it?
No. No.
Okay.
I move that we bring it back.
When?
At a further date.
I second the motion to table it and bring it back. Ms. Carlson, we're making a motion to table this and bring it back later.
We have a motion that has been made and seconded.
I would wait to see and make sure it's a card.
I don't think so.
Well, let's let Dr. Israni make sure.
We're looking for the cards.
Is this CRT? We don't have a topic on CRT, so that shouldn't be a topic.
The one we can find for you, it says special presentation number 2, CRT. Okay. So we have a motion to table this item, and it has been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Opposed.
5-4-5-1 against the motion to table this item has passed.
And
that's the end of the
agenda. I would say, just to add to that, are we bringing it back in January, at the January meeting, or?
You need some more time to work on it.
More time? So we're looking at bringing it back in February?
Possibly February.
Thank you.
The table motion will be brought back in February. That's the end of our agenda.